are still awaiting the technicians to come and activate the mic. In the meantime, we can do the very, very, it is official, but I think the recording of the introduction might not necessarily be a big issue. I'm sure we can do that. Just introduce each other to ourselves. That way. So we might very well remember at the end of the movie. It's better to know who was in the movie. I want to start there at the corner. Don't press it, it doesn't work.
Oh, good morning. My name is Kiki Boloyi from Water Organization. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, dear colleagues. My name is Kiki Karasu. I'm from Water Organization.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Kiki Karasu.
I mean,
I'm Shireen Dahl, the content advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation.
My name is Tomani Manupala, the researcher for the Portfolio Committee. name is Talent CBC. I'm the committee assistant for the portfolio committee.
Good morning, Chair and the members. My name is Kaya Begin. I'm the executive secretary to the chairperson.
Good morning, Andy Gaynor, chairman of parliament and representing House of Commons.
Good morning, Chair, members. I'm Nick Maber.
Good morning, colleagues. Neil Basson, a member of this committee and a member of Parliament.
Good morning. I'm the member of the committee.
Good morning,
Yeah,
among myself, technically, with a new copper of all kinds of all of you.
In this room, it's only the airplane. I don't want to confuse everyone.
One day I went on stage where the artist kicked me out of the stage.
Thank you very much. Let's observe a moment of silence for meditation and of prayer. Thank you very much. Apologies. What is the apology from Helen? Apology is an application for leave of absence. It is not informing that you are not coming. You apply to the absence, but they are a committee member, not a political person. Let me finish. Then that application shall be accepted by the meeting. And you are apologized. Elaborate like that, you might be giving the reason why it is meeting. But you cannot put so many questions. That's fine. That is the kind that you say at once to me. I'm simply saying, an anomalous consensus is an application is to apply for the leave of absence. Given the reasons of the absence, the meeting can accept or deny. So this was unforeseen, but I said the day why she was said the day why she was from minute of the 31st of January 2023. On that day you promised that you are also going to pass the minutes of the previous meeting. But here you don't tell them. So all in your February chapter. Let's start with the February chapter. Page 1. Eres un hombre, te doy un puto. Préstamo. Ya me deja de ver. Yeah, but remember, in good way, that we are in the alternative number, so you absolutely not explaining the issue. But look at the issue, is very, because she must be going to a bad one, she has a great deal of money.
This is important. For some sake of it, this is important.
The doctor do issue a certificate of being sick. You don't ordain yourself being sick. And I'm not saying it is a precon today, but you must just know that if you say you are sick, you must move. And if you remember, sickness is it means a lot of things when you are sick, it doesn't work. Thank you. Okay. Here are the minutes on page 2 and for instance on page 1. She was meaning the in answering the question. Let her get the answer. But if she does, you remember that if she got here with the answer, she can raise it in the meeting. So she can raise it if she does not have time. Okay. I'm sure you want to say that the minister correct. It's in the absence of you not taking her time.
I second the
minister. Okay.
around the issues of bloom water, taking the bigger component that has to deal with the precinct, and also not the team. Mahad is taking the pushing agenda to deal with the Northwest. And the last week yourself, as honorable members, you started to see the report of some of these water boards. But in our case, this is the capacity of the state. It's an important aspect in dealing with those particular issues. And we're very pleased that even the issues of the water board, that they should be permanent water boards in those institutions. Instead of being the water board properly organized, we know that Amatola Water is a process that is currently underway to conclude the issue of having a water board. And then Bloom Water, because of the expansion, we are looking at the renaming of that particular institution, but also looking at the question of the water board. In KwaZulu-Natal, you know that our intentions in terms of the notice that has been issued by the minister, there is that intention of allocating this Umhlathuzwe Water into Umgeni Water. And the DG and the team have concluded that work with the water board of a due diligence and the processes of moving towards completion of that process. That would culminate in terms of the new board, but also dealing with the circular administration there. But red water has been extended, as you are all aware, even to areas of Mpumalanga. In other words, we work on reconfiguration process. When that work around the capacity of the state, the other matter that we are engaging very quickly is the decision that was announced by President around the establishment of a National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency as an instrument that we can be able to use the balance sheet and the capability that we could build so that we can be able to ensure that we can go to the market using the balance sheet that is available to get the resources, because not all the resources will be available from the fiscals to be able to deal with our water security issues and demands that we have, including that capacity. And the processes around the bid were briefed you before. Those are the issues that I can call them institutional issues. While the CFA issue, they are proceeding because those are the important components around the institutional capability, including the transformation of the irrigation board into water use association. The other matter that is on your table, Chairperson, that we worried at your beginning, as a portfolio committee, was the financial position of the department and the performance of the department thereof. With your directive, we were able to produce a financial turnaround plan. And we always agreed that this financial turnaround plan we must always report to you in dealing with those particular issues around the financial position of the department. And there's that particular component that is also in the report that is being presented by the DG. But on behalf of the executing authority, the ministry, we are very satisfied that the department is on track in terms of our commitment to perform, especially when it comes to water resource management. And we could see that the performance in our court at this time in terms of non-financial information is actually higher than the expenditure. In time back here, honorable person will remember, will be very high on expenditure. But when it comes to output, we're very low. And there is that a change in terms of actually delivering more, but within the resources, sometimes using less resources. The area of concern remains the water services function. It remains the water services function. The number of municipalities, we must agree, they are not doing well for a variety of reasons. It doesn't matter which political party runs those municipalities. They are all the same, but the challenges are not at the same level. In the main, access to infrastructure in South Africa has increased substantially. But the drop of water to come out in the tap every day for 365 days, there's been a deterioration. What we call it, the reliability of supply, it has come down, and it's coming down all the time. And in the main, the reason why it comes down firstly, is on the basis that infrastructure has been built and it has been neglected, and we lose a lot of water. I stay in Swan in Washington for 4 days, there's no water. I know what it means not to have water. And you could see that there are these particular challenges, but also the challenges of bulk infrastructure, because our investments have not been consumerate or directly proportional to the population growth, including the economic growth, because we need to be able to match that. This is one area that we have agreed that as a department, supported by yourselves, we are no longer going to say the space belongs to municipality. We know that it is a differentiation in terms of law, but we will not be able to sit down and say, no, let them pay, we'll point fingers on them. We can only guarantee the availability of the source. It's no longer adequate. That's why many municipalities, we proceed to support them, even to a certain extent of intervening. We're intervening in whether in the Eastern Cape, whether in KwaZulu-Natal, whether in Mpumalanga, whether in Limpopo, even in Northwest, even coming closer to an extent of being involved in terms of supporting the military population, engaging with treasurer, because you could see, if we don't come in, the socio-economic rights and environmental rights, if we can rely on the local government, we will not be able to proceed. That's what we have done, and that's why we have DTGMAT working non-stop in many parts of our country, supporting those municipalities, including the issues of the sewer system. Because the issue of the deterioration of water quality in terms of the number of our municipalities is a problem. There is no municipality in South Africa. I'm on record. No municipality in South Africa that doesn't have a sewer spillage in one area or the other. All of them, they do. And people are living in those particular conditions. And it's one of the biggest things that we say that people must be attended to. They will report also on the eradication of buckets. Remember that inhumane system, especially in the era of Free State and the era of Northern Cape. But we know that there are other buckets because of informal settlement and the way we're affecting people that we needed to do. Lastly, we are pleased that Operation Vulindlela is working. We look very bad about taking many years just to finalize the water license. And all our water licenses have been finalized. And even our service ministry from time to time, EG, very supportive, has increased the capacity. The only issue that we also know that even that some of these licenses, remember the same cover photo engineering report, and if you sign them off, chair, in other words, you contend, you enjoin yourself. If a tailing dam like the one in Free State Bay, and the department has given a license, it means we're not creating some of even the design. That's what sometimes takes a little bit of time. But nothing is on the table, and our water tribunal is being supported by DG, that those issues that are sitting with the tribunal, we must be able to conclude that because there were many issues in the tribunal. And the issues of sorting out the tribunal. The economic regulator, we did when the book of the commission check, you remember, rather than to do a full, it's that particular process that we need to do, including the issues of funding of projects. The partnership office each year has worked on it, and we've started to work with more private sector. There's a lot of appetite to support that. That's the summary, Chair, of some of the key highlights that we have. But if we are right, the answer is no, we can actually fill up our performance, and it's our intention to do so. Thank you. Can I hand over to teach you your permission, sir? Yeah.
Well, no, very much, Chairperson. I'm going to go straight to the executive summary slide, which is slide number 5 in the pack. I'm just going to talk a little bit to the executive summary. I think Deputy Minister Makobo has done a very good overall summary. I'll just add a few points there, and then I'm going to hand over to my colleague Babawa Nyaka to take us through the non-financial performance information, and then I'm going to hand over to the CFO to take us through the financial slide. Just to add a couple of points to the areas where we think we've improved and we've made progress at the department, where we've been putting a lot of focus during this financial year. In addition to the areas mentioned by the Deputy Minister, we've also been focusing a lot on getting some of the major national bulk water resource infrastructure projects, which have been delayed for quite a long time, moving again. So we put quite a lot of...
We did mention in passing that Makobo was pressed for time. He has presented, he's not just going to leave now because he had a flight to catch. He was trying to change, it is unchangeable. So we're not left with Makobo, but Makobo will be leaving. I don't want you to squeeze out and people believe that you undermine the job.
Right, I was saying we've been putting a lot of work into getting the Lesotho Highlands Phase 2 projects and other key projects, including Nkomazi and the Mutumbulu projects, which were all delayed for a long time going. But the Lesotho Highlands Phase 2 is now under construction. The major contracts have been awarded. And Nkomazi project, the affordability problem has been resolved with National Treasury. And that project, the TTPA, is now finalizing the takeoff agreements with the relevant municipalities in KZN. And then some Google projects, the funding challenges and again the affordability challenges have been resolved with National Treasury, and that project is underway, and we've got the funding for it to proceed and for the Nkabalanga Dam to be built starting from next financial year. We've also made progress with the establishment of the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. I'm on slide 5, honourable members. I'm just giving the executive summary. I'm just adding a bit of detail to the areas of achievement that the Deputy Minister mentioned. National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency, the goal is currently out for public comment. Since October last year, we've been engaging in intensive public consultations and with stakeholders on the bill. NEDLAC is business and organized labor. NEDLAC have asked for a NEDLAC task team to be established, which is in the process of being established to look at the bill. And also the current vendors of the TTPA requested an independent financial and risk review of the bill. And we've partnered with Booster, who's now appointed one of the major accounting firms to undertake that independent financial and risk review of the NWRA bill. Once those two processes are completed, they will then go back to Cabinet with the recommendation that the bill be brought to Parliament. We've also been putting a lot of effort into getting some of the large water services projects moving that were also delayed for a long time. The Giani project is very well known. That one is over the past 6 to 9 months. There's been a lot of progress with the active involvement of the Minister and Deputy Ministers and Chrissy Marty in particular. We'll probably talk a bit more about that later in the presentation. And a number of other projects around this country, including the Lost Cop Dam projects, have also made progress. In addition to that, areas mentioned by the Deputy Minister, we have also moved with some of the things that were hanging. For example, decision-making regarding the establishment of catchment management agencies, those decisions have been made. There'll be six catchment management agencies, and where process is underway to establish the remaining four over and above the two that are in place. In terms of internally, as the Deputy Minister mentioned, we are now much more stable than before. We've strengthened our financial and HR controls. The backlog of internal audit investigations is in the process of being addressed. We have a contract workers appointed to do that, as well as a panel of forensic auditors. So that is being addressed well. We're actively managing all our financial misconduct disciplinary cases, and we are still collaborating with the FIU regarding a number of investigations. And we're putting a lot of emphasis, as the CFO will cover, on addressing our historic, irregular, and unauthorized expenditure and getting it condoned or dealt with, and in some cases that requires disciplinary processes to be completed. And as you will hear when the CFO presents, as a result of all of these measures, the irregular and unauthorized expenditure that we're currently dealing with at the department is almost all historic. The amounts of new irregular and unauthorized expenditure has greatly reduced since we've introduced all of these controls. But despite that, as the Deputy Minister indicated, we are not yet where we want to be as a department. There are some areas where we still need to do a lot more work to improve. This includes, for example, further strengthening our role in terms of supporting and intervening in municipalities where municipal water sanitation services are deteriorating. We're doing a lot of work in that regard. It might result in amendments or proposed amendments to the Water Services Act to enable us to be more effective in terms of our support and interventions, and we'll be bringing that to the committee in due course. We're working with the Water Research Commission doing research on ways of making our support and intervention in municipalities more effective, including looking at the experiences of other countries all over the world, including other African countries, in terms of how they've improved municipal water and sanitation services. As I indicated, that might require some amendments to the Water Services Act. We're also working on measures in the department to strengthen our regulatory interventions with regard to problems at municipal level which result in pollution of the environment and pollution of communities, particularly the wastewater treatment management problems. One of the things that we're doing is taking regulatory actions against municipalities has been a decision which has been devolved to our regional offices. We're in the process now of standardizing how all our regional offices operate in that regard to make sure that they all act in the same way when there's non-compliance, and also introducing measures to make sure that if our regional office doesn't implement a regulatory compliance measure, then we intervene from head office and make sure it's implemented. The Deputy Minister indicated that we've also created a Water Partnerships Office as a ring-fenced unit in the Development Bank, jointly managed by ourselves, the Development Bank and Salka, to assist municipalities to put in place more public-private partnerships for municipal water services so that we can get more private sector finance and skills in the municipal water and sanitation services sector. That's something which still requires a lot more work. It's just getting started now, but it will be a major focus area for us in the coming months and years. Another area where we need to do a lot more work, where we still need to improve a lot, is filling in revenue collection across the water value chain. It's probably the issue, one of the issues which keeps us awake at night the most, the issue of the financial sustainability of the water and sanitation sector. As honourable members know, Sedibeng Water went bankrupt. We had to close it down because it was bankrupt. There's no mechanism in the fiscal system in South Africa for Treasury to provide money for ongoing operating costs in the water sector. Water is supposed to be self-sustaining and sanitation. supposed to be financially self-sustaining, but that is not working well at all at the moment, and the primary problem is weak billing and revenue collection at the municipal level. So we are working on a number of measures in terms of to address this. We are working together with the water boards and National Treasury to strengthen our own billing and revenue collection and to standardize credit control measures across the water boards and ourselves, and to work with Treasury to take measures to try and force municipalities to pay the water boards the money due to them, including with the withholding of conditional grants and equitable share to municipalities which don't pay the water boards. So that's an area which also requires a lot more work for us to get to where we want to be. Another area which is ongoing where we need to improve our performance and we need to do more is in terms of transforming the irrigation boards into water user associations and in terms of increasing equity and transformation in water use allocations. And then finally, as indicated on slide 5 in the executive summary, while we've made some progress in terms of unblocking these projects which have been blocked for a long time, and we're getting projects moving on the ground, we still have much more work to do to improve our own internal processes in this regard, particularly our procurement processes. We've started in that regard. I have approved an infrastructure procurement strategy, an infrastructure procurement policy for the department, as you're supposed to do in terms of the National Treasury Framework for Infrastructure Procurement and Delivery Management. We're in the process of introducing new approaches in the Department for Infrastructure Procurement. It's new to the department. We're having to train our people on how to use different approaches to procurement and new forms of contract documentation. It will take some time, but we are confident it is going to result in further improvement, particularly in the performance of our construction units, which have been plagued historically by a long period of downtime, resulting in fruitless and wasteful expenditure because of basic things like not being able to procure timelessly to provide the basic materials and tools and equipment that the construction unit needs to do its work. So that is in the process of being addressed and of being improved, but this quarterly report does show those improvements. We still have problems with delays on some of the projects, delays in procurement, but we know it's an area that we need to improve. I think, Chairperson, I think that's really, just to add a little bit more detail to the introduction from the Deputy Minister, that provides an overview as where we are as a department. The overall picture is one of progress in many areas, but also a lot of work still needs to be done in other areas. So with your permission, Chairperson, I'd like to ask Babalwa to then present more on the detail of this particular quarter. Babalwa.
Thank you, DG. Once again, to the honourable members and your colleagues in the DM. If you look at slide 6 of what you, the document you have in front of you, there is a comparison of the financial and non-financial performance for the third quarter, which is in the third quarter. I want you to know that I'm returning the honourable persons checking. The program, slide 6, and also actually indicates high level areas of underperformance, which will provide explanations in the subsequent slides. if you will allow the chairperson, let me rather just go through the presentation and go to slide 9 of the documents you have. That's the graph that actually indicates the end and the percentage of partial achievement and non-achievement for the third quarter, and also per program as well. Then if you go to slide 10, in slide 10, we are actually indicating that the department's performance in terms of the preferential procurement for the small, medium, and micro enterprises was currently sitting at 61%, that is at the end of December 2022. And this is a good improvement from the target of 30%, which was planned for the quarter. And if you look at the disaggregation of this small and medium enterprises, if you look at qualifying small enterprises, we managed to procure 30% from them, and we had planned to procure 15% for the quarter. And also from exempted micro-enterprises, we managed to procure 31% from a planned target of 15%, which is an improvement for the quarter. If you go to slide 11, we are also indicating procurement from the designated groups, which is women, youth, and persons with disability. And from youth, we managed to procure 12% for the quarter, from that planned target of 30%. From the persons with disabilities, we managed to procure 4%, which was a target of 7%. And from women, we managed to exceed the target of 40% by procuring 73% from women companies. Then the next slide that I'm going to go through is detail on the performance for the first program, which is administration. If you go to slide 13, the graph there indicates the two programs that managed to achieve all their planned targets for the quarter, and the two that did not achieve the 100% of what was planned for the quarter, which is corporate services and financial management. And I will firstly, if you go to slide 14, indicate the areas of achievement, which is the supplementary information to what the DG and the Deputy Minister has highlighted. This is just to indicate per program and sub-program the areas of achievement for the quarter, our compliance with the audit action plan and risk plans. Also, in the financial management, I've mentioned our procurement from the SMEs. From corporate services, we managed to implement 48% of training interventions and conducting safety and security issues. And our communication program, we managed to exceed that for the quarter. Also, in terms of our international relations program, we managed to achieve several initiatives and agreements and obligatory arrangements. If you go then to slide 15, this is just details on the areas of partial and non-achievement sub-program from the vacancy rate and engineers and scientists. We managed to actually fill vacancy rate at 80% for the quarter from a planned target of 90%. This was as a result that the Deputy Minister has mentioned that we had approved our structure, organizational structure, which increased substantially our technical positions from 761 to over 1,000 for the quarter. And then, however, in mitigation of the total of 122 technical posts within the water use authorization space have been advertised, and they are in the process of being filled. The CFO will be talking to areas of partial achievement in terms of our annual budget,
and also data theft. So if you allow me, Chairperson, I would not go into details on that one. I'm going to go to the second program, which is Water Resources Management, which is slide 17. And there is an indication, the graph is an indication of the power sub-programs that achieved what was planned for the quarter. And in the subsequent slides, I will indicate the areas of achievement for the program and also those of partial and non-achievement within the three sub-programs that did not meet all their planned targets. Slides 18 and 19 is an indication of areas of achievement. Some have been mentioned by the DG in his opening remarks. I just want to actually highlight in terms of our achievement within our water resources planning space. We managed to do reconciliation strategy status reports for the Ungeni, Amatole, and Crocodile West Orange water supply system. Also operating and specially studied within the Western Cape water supply system, and also within the water ecosystem management space, we managed to gazette a final notice for the Utukela River system. Also, we implemented a river ecostatus monitoring in 17 rivers in the water resources information space. We maintained our water resources and water and sanitation information systems, and also we managed to move the Bavaria gauge station to 96% completion in terms of our institutional oversight that you just mentioned, those in terms of catchment management establishment, also in terms of the bill, you mentioned the issues there, and also issues on irrigation boards, so I would not go into detail on that one. Also within the water resources infrastructure management space, which is slide 19, the DG also mentioned progress in terms of the bio water infrastructure project. There, I just would like to highlight that in terms of the rehabilitation, we managed to move the construction of and 38 dam to 76% and Mariko Bostel dam, and also in terms of our conveyance system, 2 kilometers was rehabilitated, and we honored our water supply agreement and operating rules to our biggest water users. Within the regulation space, also the DG mentioned areas of activity there, but I would just want to draw your attention to the approval of the raw water charges for the 2023-24 financial year, and also the water research levy, and in terms of our water authorization, 130% of the applications received for the quarter were finalized within the regulated period, and also 111 water users were monitored. And as the DG had mentioned, non-compliant cases were investigated, a total of 97 for the quarter. If you go to slide 20, the DG is going to details about the progress on the water amendment bill. So if you allow me to assess, then I will not repeat what he said. And also in relation to the National Water Resources Strategy, the third edition, we just managed to have draft, but we are planning to actually table it, submit it to the foster clusters for endorsement, so that we can make sure that it is finalized by the end of the quarter. In slide 21, it's just details on the areas of infrastructure that we are, where we are in terms of bulk water projects and dam safety rehabilitation projects. I've also mentioned the progress there. If you'll allow me, I will go into details on the regulation space. Slide 22 of the document you have in front of you. We managed to implement our resource directed measures in 2 river systems, and we will have engagements with the relevant units to just source the required data, and that can be done, and actually it is done for the fourth quarter. Also, as the Deputy Minister mentioned, the progress on the water economy regulator in terms of the regulator commission, so I will not dwell on to that. And then for the water allocation reform finalization, it's also linked to the National Water Act, and that will also allow us to do the promulgations for the water allocation regulation. So as soon as the National Water Act, we should be able to promulgate the regulations in that space. Also, we just managed to do 88 of the Plan 92 wastewater systems for monitoring, and that has been done for the fourth quarter. If we go to the third program, which is the water resources, water services space, of the programs, none of them managed to achieve all the planned targets, but I will first indicate the areas of achievement in slide 25. If you look at that, we managed to draft water conservation and demand strategies and also collect data in large water supply systems in terms of the water balance, which is the water use efficiency. Four feasibility studies completed for the regional bulk infrastructure project, and 21 water services authorities managed to update their water strategic self-assessment online, and a confirmation of the status of the municipal priority actions for those water services authorities that did not perform well within the MUSA. In terms of the regional bus infrastructure grant, 69 project phases are under construction, and five of those are completed, and the DG spoke into detail about the frustrating of the GIAN intervention and also the bus. And because of these projects, we managed to create 76 job opportunities within the water services infrastructure grant. 203 projects are under construction, of which 4 have been completed, and also within the water services regulation, bulk tariffs were passed for consultation, preliminary tariffs, and also the blue drop system. 177 water supply systems were assessed. The Deputy Minister mentioned details on the water boards, and also the DG explained that the disestablishment of the city water board. If you look at slide 26, this is just a disaggregation of the 69 regional bank projects. The province, how many are under construction, how many are completed, also within the water services infrastructure grant, how many are under construction, the province, and how many are completed, and also just to indicate the acceleration or the fast tracking of the GIAN and the VAR intervention project. The two areas, sub programs that did not achieve their targets within this space. The DG mentioned the acceleration or the improvement of the procurement process, which affected the two areas in terms of developing district municipality 5-year reliability plan. I am now on slide 27, and also some contractor performance, which affected the construction of 7 regional bulk infrastructure projects, 7 of those. And we have included the details per province on the slide. Slide 28, we are looking at the 6 projects within the municipal space that were affected by contractor performance and also procurement within the municipal space, which is what the DG spoke to, and also within the budget eradication, formal settlement replacement. There is progress there, even though the slide SME is affected by SME demanding a stake into the project and also changes in design and some labor disputes that affected our ability to compete or to connect the bulk infrastructure for the market eradication. The policy, water services policy on the amendment of the water services bill, the DG also mentioned issues there in terms of intervening within the municipal space and therefore resulting in the amendment of the bill. So that is one issue that we're looking at there, and also within the regulation space. I've mentioned the blue drop systems that were assessed, and the remaining will be assessed in the fourth quarter, and also non-compliant water supply systems, which will be assessed in the fourth quarter of this financial year. And also, the last, which is the fifth, slide 30, talking to the water board performance, and also just to re-emphasize the establishment of city rain. The subsequent slides are financial performance. I will therefore to each of the hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson and the portfolio committee, Deputy Minister and colleagues. On slide number 32, this is an overview of the financial performance for the third quarter. The department spent 61% of the budget at the end of December. And out of that, according to our plan, we planned to have spent a little bit more, but we're behind with 11%. Comparing the spending 10% with the prior year, there is a slight improvement if you do a comparison quarter to quarter. And the reasons for the underspending from the projection are also outlined on slide number 32. The first one, under compensation of employees for the personnel budget, is due to the outside budget cut that we have on the budget for compensation of employees. So there's a limit that we've been given to by Treasury on the filling of posts. So we have to manage the filling of posts, bearing in mind the decline in the budget in the coming financial year. Then the second line item which has underspending is the goods and services. The main contributor there relates to the KwaZulu-Natal disaster intervention, where we had invoices that were to return to the service provider. We did provide feedback in the previous meeting. The department did engage the service provider, and also to emphasize that before we actually awarded the contract, we did have an indication of the supporting documents that are required to enable us to paid for the goods and services that we have been delivered by the contractor. So we did write a follow-up letter, and this is one of the areas where the Auditor General is focusing significantly on the material irregularities. There were issues that were picked up by the same contractor, so we are very much careful when coming to payment. So we are hopeful that before the end of the financial year, the service provider would have provided the required information. It has to do with log sheets, proof of ownership on the vehicles. There's a long list that we have provided to the service provider, which is required for audit purposes. Then on transfers and subsidies, Chairperson, that relates to the transfers to local government as well as transfers to water boards. We had some of the conditional grants which were not transferred, they were deferred or withheld for the reporting period due to some of the non-compliance, which I'll talk to in a subsequent slide. And the water board, we had to also deal with some of the compliance requirements, and those transfers were rescheduled for the next quarter. And on payment for capital assets, that relates to the 6D indirect allocations on the Division of Revenue Act, where the department is building infrastructure through implementing agents, and subsequent to the completion of those projects, we transfer that infrastructure to the municipalities, beneficiary municipalities. On slide number 33 is programmatic presentation of what I have indicated now, the comparison between the quarter and for the previous financial year and the current financial year, and this also representation the per economic classification. A significant portion of the budget is under transfers and subsidies, around 57%, which includes your municipalities, also transfers that you are making to the water trading entities as well as the water boards. I'll move to slide number 34, that is the water trading entity. Compared to the main account, the water trading entity, there was a decline when we do a year-on-year comparison, and mainly there are two reasons that we can provide on this decrease. One is the reduction in the construction losses compared to the previous year. The previous year, 21-22 December month, we had quite a high number of construction losses that we have incurred, and there was a reduction in the reporting period. And on financing and investment in raw water infrastructure, those relate mainly to the TCTA claims that we are paying to enable TCTA to repay the loans. There were their claims could only be processed in the month of January. And on slide number 35, the water sales debt, the earlier presenter also indicated in there that we had a challenge with the number of days, the collection of water sales debt. However, there are still measures that we have put in place to ensure that we optimize our recovery. So the slide gives a presentation of the above the debt balances per region, as well as the amount of recovery we have made. The debt book, when we closed the month of December, was at 26 billion. And for the financial year, up to the end of December, we have collected 10 billion. Of that book. There are still ongoing engagements that we are putting together, normal risk control measures, as well as intergovernmental relations forums with COPTA, as well as SALGA and National Treasury, to try and deal with some of the systematic challenges that we are faced with within this raw water that DG also spoke to earlier on. We have also entered into repayment agreements with various customers, which includes both municipalities, water boards and companies to the value of 2.6 billion. The other intervention is that we have appointed debt collectors. 15 of them have participated on a contract that has been issued by National Treasury, and they have managed to assist us. So by the end of December, they were appointed somewhere around October, they managed out of the debt book that was sent at over 3.8 billion, we managed to get 36 million, and they also facilitated signing of repayment agreements with those specific customers. And slide number 36, DG also spoke to our interventions within the sector as a whole. So we've been meeting with National Treasury as well as the water board, COPTA as well, to try and deal with some of the issues where Treasury can assist. And they have indicated in some instances that they will be able to ensure that the equitable share allocations for some of the non-paying municipalities are withheld. And that process is dealt through consultation, and we make sure that we have exhausted all the other avenues before we can put in this intervention. And we have also put together standardized credit control and debt recovery processes within the sector with the water board to make sure that there's consistency and to support each other, and also knowledge sharing up around the recovery of the debt that is owed to the department and the water board, which ultimately affects our funding of loans that are issued out through the TCTA. There are also bulk prepaid meters which will be installed by the water board in municipalities with poor payment records, and we also have ministers supporting us through consultation with the mayors in various municipalities. On slide number 37, this is one of the areas where we have recorded low spending, the infrastructure expenditure of the department. When we close the period up until December, the spending for both ARDIC and WISIC was at 47% and 49% respectively up to December 2022. And we have made various interventions to reprioritize the budget between the projects within specific provinces, but also now as we are approaching here, and there's also a move now to reprioritize the budget in between the provinces. We also explained this previously, even in the previous sitting, where the DG indicated that the budget is not necessarily lost to those specific provinces. Rather, we are trying to avoid underspending in the subsequent financial years, we are able to put back that budget. There are a number of reasons for underspending. I did indicate the one of KwaZulu-Natal on the service provider, but also we also had Amatola Water, which has been appointed in the Eastern Cape, being behind with some of the procurement activities. Generally, Chairperson, we know that we have raised issues around contributing factors to underspending, which lead to us terminating contractors due to proper performance. We had feedback also from the committee last week when our water board was presenting about our proactiveness that should be brought into the management of the project, and we are certainly taking those advices forward when we are engaging with our water board and their role. This was discussed in the last meeting. On slide number 38, this is a total reflection of our infrastructure program, both ARDIC, which the allocation is 5.9 billion, and out of that, the year-to-date spending is 2.7 billion, and water services also 4.4 billion with the spending reflected there. And we have also had transfers to various water boards for infrastructure projects, included therein also where the establishment allocations to Makalis Water Board, as well as Citibank, Blue Motor now, with the establishment of Citibank. So that is where we also assisted with the establishment. Those are the transfers we have made for the establishment of Citibank. The other transfers that we have effected during the quarter relates to the WTE for acid mine drainage, other capital projects, including the Komati Basin Water Authority allocation. And on slide number 39, this is a big spending and projection. Chairperson, I indicated earlier on that we did have an indication that we could underspend between some of the provinces, and we have already engaged National Treasury to try and reprioritize some of the funding there. A number of provinces are lagging behind, but there are some of the provinces included therein is Mpumalanga, as well as Northwest, which have indicated that they would be able to absorb more of the allocation, and we are accordingly moving the funds in between those provinces. The same on slide number 40, on the water services infrastructure grant spending, 771 million is the allocation there. On this grant, similarly, we do have provinces, including the budget eradication program, where we anticipate underspending. However, we also have other projects that we have been accelerating in both Limpopo and Mpumalanga. Limpopo is the water services, the recirculation in Giyani. So that is where we have appointed Mopani district municipality, and we have been working very close with the municipality to accelerate some of the work that they are doing. They've appointed quite a number of contractors, and we are hopeful that once Treasury has approved the reprioritization of this fund, we should be able to reach quite a number of villages with the recirculation, similar with Mpumalanga. Eastern Cape, we have been engaging with Amatola Water. There's been some intervention to make sure that the water board is responsive to some of the projects that have been assigned. However, there's an indication that they might not spend the 10 million which has been provided to them for disaster. but they have now lately in the month of February appointed service providers. And on slide number 41, the combination of the Archdeacon, we have there the direct transfer to conditional grants that we are transferring to municipalities. We did have some withholding, not all the transfers were effected as scheduled. That is due to a number of reasons which are captured from slide number 42, withholding of the allocations. There is an indication of which province the withholding has been effected, as well as the municipality. There are a number of conditional grant requirements that we have put there in the framework, which each municipality has to comply with. So for this one that we are reflecting on slide number 41, up until slide number 44, it means now that present, there were some form of non-compliance, mainly if the underspending by the municipalities on the earlier tranches that have been issued to them. And I'll move straight to slide number 45 on what the department is doing to make sure that we mitigate that risk of underspending. As indicated, we have been moving funds in between the projects where we have developed acceleration plans, and those are being implemented. Some of the key projects include the Chemisile water scheme, the one, the Rosbok one, Madiven Bar water supply, Breast, and then also the Giani water reciclation project. And also we received another request for the George water treatment where they have increased the accelerated the work, and more funds were required earlier than it has been scheduled. Now, out of those interventions that were put in place, we managed to register a commitment of over 7.3 billion with the water boards as well as municipalities, and we are constantly monitoring the performance of those implementing agents. Now, the underspending. Yes, that's correct, 10%. Yes. So, on the 416, which we had as a projection for on underspending, the department has written to National Treasury requesting that we convert a portion of the 416 million into water services infrastructure grant to enable us to accelerate the work that the department is doing on the Giani water services project, where there is a reticulation to various villages. That relates to phase one of the project. Then the second request that the department has sent to Treasury also to convert a portion of the 6B allocation of the regional bulk infrastructure grant to the 5B, where it would be a direct transfer to the municipality for George municipality. So we are waiting the response from Treasury, and we are hopeful that they will give us favorable response. So these are some of the measures, Chairperson, and they also proceed to slide number 46, which is the same project that I indicated earlier on. The department presented last week a synopsis of this project and how far we are with this project. The next part of the presentation, Chairperson, from slide number 3 to slide number 48, relates to the overview of the financial recovery plan of the department. As indicated earlier on, we are constantly monitoring the financial recovery plan, and ensuring that we do not repeat some of the mistakes that we made in the past. So the financial recovery plan covers quite a number of areas, which deals with funding and budget management, expenditure control, governance, to avoid the issues of over-commitment, the issues of accruals and payables in the past, bank overdraft. So these are the key areas, but also key to that are the audit areas, both the internal and external audit action plans, where we make sure that we do not regret on the opinion that the department received on audit, rather we should improve. Then on slide number 49, out of this crisis recovery plan, the areas which are still giving us a bit of a challenge, but we are progressing on them as well, is the unauthorized expenditure, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. So on slide number 49, Chairperson, is a summary of the subsequent slides, but it indicates that the unauthorized expenditure has since remained constant. We haven't incurred for all the years since the first year of incurring the unauthorized expenditure. We have received National Treasury inquiring about the progress that they have made with SCOPA regarding that. And we also submitted a number of applications to National Treasury. Total number of 138 million is currently being assessed by National Treasury, and 8.2 billion was referred back to the department for us to conclude some of the disciplinary processes and investigations by the police as well as the SIU. And 2 billion currently is with our forensic unit, and we are still assessing a total number of 5.7 billion. After assessment, we'll be able to advise as to whether it is necessary to have full forensic investigation on those cases. And the 433 million has been condoned in line with the response from National Treasury. This includes the sub-licenses where we have completed all the investigations, disciplinary proceedings. SIU also issued the report, and we recovered the funds through that settlement with SIU. And on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there was an increase on two cases. The one on the main account related to the fraudulent subsistence and travel claims that were submitted by some of the officials. And then on the other same entity, there are losses that have been incurred on the project, and those are part of the investigation. And slide number 50, Chairperson, the summary in rent values of those three categories of improper expenditure. I will not repeat that, but our aim, as I will reflect in the subsequent slide, is to make sure that there is a zero incurrence of these improper expenditures. But DG also mentioned that we do have a contract workers that we've appointed, as well as professional service providers who have been brought in to augment our internal audit capacity. When we're at SCOPA, we also made a commitment that by the 31st of March 2024, we should have cleaned this register of improper expenditure. And slide number 51, as indicated earlier on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it was our aim that in this current financial year we wouldn't be having these new cases. We recorded those cases as indicated on the SNT and the officials were taken through a process. There's still disciplinary proceedings that are ongoing. Also, the South African Police Service is also busy with the case, and they have concluded their investigation. Is currently with the prosecutors to make final determination. And on slide number 52, on the irregular expenditure, again, Chairperson, this is a representation of the summary that I've made at the beginning. It shows the rent values of the irregular expenditure, the ones that are coming from the previous financial year, and how much has been added and how much has been condoned, and the percentage analysis as well. And then the slide number 53 shows those cases that have been condoned. There are very strict requirements before you can condone any of these irregular expenditures, and we have ensured that we comply with those in line with the instruction note from National Treasury. And then there are also some of the cases that are still with National Treasury, as I've indicated on slide number 54, is one unauthorized expenditure, which is a parliamentary process through SCOPA. And then the other cases that have been condoned are also there, the 138. And on slide number 55, those are the cases like the Guiani cases and the Orban leaks. Those are some of the cases that we are still working on. Some of them are with the HOPS, we've been providing our support when engaged by the police. And then on all leaks in particular, I must indicate that we have been working with EWCITA, which was implementing the project. However, there is a contractual dispute between EWCITA and the service provider. So that delay has also contributed to the delay on the condemnation of this irregular expenditure because of the mediation hearing that is ongoing between EWCITA and the service provider. Similarly, with passive eradication, we are finalizing a total report in relation to the irregular expenditure, and then we should be able to go back to National Treasury. And then the other cases there, the desalination plant, the North Coast Water Utility, the case of one employee was finalized, so we are only waiting for the finalization of the second employee, and then we should be able to go back to National Treasury to request them to assess again the application. Slide number 57, Jefferson provides a trend analysis of this irregular expenditure over the years. That indicates earlier on that we have made a commitment that 2023, that should have been zero, but unfortunately we still had two incidents which are currently under investigation, and we have certainly tried to make sure that we do not incur. But it is our goal that this also be finalized, and hopefully we'll close the financial year with a zero on this. And on slide number 58, that's some of the transgressions that we have analyzed historically at Jefferson to reflect on the causes. What were the root causes that the internal control deficiencies which led to some of these breakdowns in our systems? So we've analyzed them, of course, to learn lessons from those and to make sure that as DG indicated, when you put in these new measures, your policies, your standard operating procedures, those measures should also deal with some of the identified internal control deficiencies. That proceeds up until slide number 59. And on slide number 16, as indicated, we are continuing to implement the turnaround and financial recovery plan. And the improper expenditure is certainly reflecting a declining trend, but we are aware that we shouldn't be having any incident. It is our duty to ensure that we prevent this from happening. And the exit strategy on some of the irregular contracts, those are being implemented through our legal services. We are making sure that some of the contracts that we have to exit, we do that. And then disciplinary proceedings as well, we do have a record of those and investigations that are continuing with various law enforcement agencies. We have been collaborating also with the FIU, and the latest progress that we recorded also to the portfolio committee is the recovery of substantial amounts of money, the 413 million for the sub contract, and also the agreement that we have reached with EOH, wherein they agreed to pay back 191 million inclusive of interest over a 36-month period. And we have met with SIU, who is assisting us with that process. Our approach, Jefferson has indicated, is water sector-wide, and we're endeavoring to ensure that the whole sector, the value chain, and our support interventions are looking at it holistically, especially where we work with municipalities and water boards, so that we are also very clear on accountability, that it doesn't only become an issue of saying, no, it is the water board, it is the municipality. So we are doing our utmost best to make sure that we support the sector as a whole. Then the next Jefferson, the appendix, those are some of the information that the committee requested before. I won't be going into those, where we have provided additional narratives per province, and if there are any questions relating to those, we should be able to talk to those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. some months I'm sure we have been making notes. So we can start raising our hands, questions, purposes. Let's see, check out your hands.
Terminating the services of this contractor. And what disciplinary measures have you put in place, you know, to deal with this contractor who have provided a poor services? Remember, money, fruitless expenditure has occurred here. So I want to know the disciplinary measures towards this contractor that you might have, you know, applied. And then again, in the Eastern Cape, poor contractor performance for one project. What because you've already realized that we are now having this contractor that you have awarded a tender, and you know he or she is performing poor. What intervention has been done or made towards this contractor? What I like about the statement which the Deputy Minister has just stated before she went away, he acknowledged that there was bulk water, that the bulk water infrastructure is old, and that is why the amount, there is loss of water, or the amount of water that is provided has become low. Yet on page 5, on the water service management, the department achieved 63% and has only spent 51% of the budget allocated. Why did the department not use the unspent budget to replace the old water infrastructure, which leads to the loss of water? And why couldn't the department use, you know, the money that was not spent or the underspent money to speed up the budget eradication process in Free State? 20 seconds.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. This mic, you have to actually bend over. Honorable Chair, the President Ramaphosa took party leaders into his confidence. And he told us that when it comes to the, I know we're talking water now, but when it comes to Eskom, there's a criminal syndicate at every power station in the country. And that's why it's making his job so difficult. Early in this year, Honorable Chair, you yourself and the minister supported you that all previous ministers for water and sanitation needs to be investigated. Those ministers over the past decades because of poor oversight, and they may also have had their fingers in the till. So my view as Al-Zamar at this point is that all our water provision entities, including the municipalities, form part of a criminal syndicate like in Eskom. So I don't have much confidence in this department. I want to make that quite clear. I don't think the nation has any confidence in this department and its leadership. I've heard progress is being made with disciplinary hearings and SIU investigations. We don't want to hear that progress is being made. The Director General must say, look, we're at 4,000 cases, 1,000 cases have been dealt with, and the other 3,000 cases, this is the progress being made. My concern, Mr. Chairman, is that these people are still in the system, looting and stealing and doing what they do best. So the Director General also glosses over the fact that the SIU is investigating the more serious cases. What a big joke. You know how the SIU works. When the department gives them a case, they must pay all the expenses. I want to know, do you pay the expenses of the SIU investigation front? Because if they don't have money, how can they get the resources to investigate? Or do you pay when the report is submitted and pay 30 days later? Which means that the cases that you refer to are not going to be investigated. They don't just have the money. The SIU at this point in time are owed 1 billion rand by government departments like this department.
So then they're going to investigate your case. So we are sitting with a situation that we have the corruption that you referred to, that I mentioned earlier that the president alluded us to, and nothing is being happened. And this department, I stick to my view that unless they prove otherwise in their reports, it's a criminal organization. And we heard that there are internal and external audits. I spoke to the national prosecutor, and she says that internal audits, external audits are not good enough. You need to have an intelligence-driven unit in the department. So what is happening now is the corruption will continue, and so many villages will continue to be without water. Villages like Mapabi Village, like Maputaputa, and many others that we have constituencies in. The honorable member early on referred to 2,000 vacancies of scientists and engineers. How can you run an efficient department for the nation if you have a shortage of 2,000 scientists and engineers? That is completely unacceptable, but it's very encouraging to hear that from the minister that the top structure has now been stabilized except for one position. I want to share with you a case study from an area where you live in Bushbuck Ridge. Minister of Justice, his family is also there. And this is, we do constituency work in many of these areas apart from the oversight visits that this committee organizes. There is a water treatment plant, but 90% of the water goes to farmers free of charge, although they have dams on their farms. I saw the dam, and I saw how they plugged into the system to steal the water. The same with water resellers. I saw them, and I've got video where they have actually this treated water that they steal. If you go to Bushbuck Ridge, there are mansions being built because the chiefs give people, you know, the right to occupy land, and they build mansions. And what do? They plug into the asbestos pipeline of 55 kilometers for their water. The deputy president are very concerned about Bushbuck Ridge. You put the tap in every yard, but when you go to open the tap, and I try to open the tap, there's no water. So I want to know, Honorable Chair, what revenue do we get in Bushbuck Ridge compared to the money we spend? Because the Director General said that water must be self-sustaining. It must pay for itself. So in Bushbuck Ridge, just as a case study, is that happening? Then lastly, Honorable Chair, the water standards in our legislation was drafted decades ago. I spoke to three professors at UCT, Stellenbosch, University of Western Cape, and they told me those standards are outdated. They need to be revised. Now, because they are gazetted, you find that municipalities provide poor quality water in terms of those standards. So when you look at the results, they meet the standards, but the standards are very poor standards and need to be updated. So I'm very sorry, I'm not at all impressed with this particular department, and they are letting the nation down. They're not carrying out their mandate. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. These are officials. If you talk politics to them, they will be not able to answer you, unfortunately. And please don't attempt to ask a political question, because you therefore be doing something else. For sure, we are all the problems here for the political issue that is raised. It can be raised the politics. But other things, they are co-committed questions, you can answer them, but the political one is busy. It is now honorable. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the official thing, I can't catch it.
I'm
I actually wanted to start on Member Hendrix. I think you are aware that in the last 2 weeks there's a narrative that says those knowingly know that there is corruption to certain individuals. They've got a duty to report to the nearest courts. So we should avoid making these a general statement. I know we are protected in this parliament to make those general statements, but I think they are warranted, knowing you, Mr. Hendrix. On slide 5, there's a sentence there that says a number of factors led to poor productivity of construction projects, including among us, inadequate planning. You know, that's where DG pains me. Because when you say inadequate planning, in other words, you saw that you were not planning right. They are saying when you flake, when you plan to, there's this plan and fail. If the other one comes first, the other one comes later. You'll assist. But I don't know how to talk to this as a member. Please talk to me and convince me to understand the English written here. I think you are responding to 61% expense. Let me not talk to that. I don't know whether it's a typo on slide 19. You said 113% off, or is it 113 off applicants? Off water was used for of water use authorization finalized within the applicable period. Immediately when anything is above 100%, that means you have performed much. I don't know whether it's a percentage or it's a number. I read it as a number, not as a percentage. Because there's a percentage you have done more than what you should have done. I have written business, which I don't know what to try write this for. Let me jump that one. But I think it was talking to the slide number 25, where you are saying National Sanitation Integration Plan, stakeholders consultation on updated draft provincial actions plan. Our interest or my interest on the stakeholder interaction. It's what we normally get reports of mafia business people, you know. I assume you were talking about, you are in your plan project, you are engaging stakeholders up front, which is a very good thing, led by the councillor in particular, when you are going to have a project. So, if that's the understanding, I'm happy with it. You know, because we are, I'm not sure whether that's the right English to say we are limping. You know, the summary of historical expenditure are very important. Here you are having 22, 21, 22, and 22, 23. I don't know whether we could have a page that just explain maybe the 5 years period. Just an added page. Sorry, Chase, I'm asking a lot on this one. Just especially this page where we are. Because there could be a number of things of budgeting, of you know, land expenditure, comparing 2020 2022 and 21 and 2019 and 20. I think our intention is to see progress. We want to see an upward flow. Even if we can do in the form of a graph, a chart that shows up and down, that it will be easy just to see that the department is progressing. On break, I'm told our president is going to be the chair of breaks this year. On break, on this slide 45. You know, this is a very important slide, DG. Because you are saying you are foreseeing that you are going to underspend. So you are saying, treasure, based on our allocation, we are now changing the allocation. Please allow us if I read this. It's a very good thing. But now, when I read this thing about there's a loss probably on those that already projected the benefit on this place. Is there any loss in terms of Nandoni, you planned Nandoni to use certain regulations, but because of your planning, you realize that you're not going to use the whole target, rather divert it. I'm just saying opportunity cost or opportunity lost in that direction. What is the impact? We could hear price, because normally, no, the department will go to the mass and say, we have budgeted 20 million for this. All of a sudden, it's now 9 million. Now, there's risk calculated in that statement. But, you know, it's a good thing. On these historical, I think page 49 in particular, talk about historically, if I read it well. You're talking serious money there, billions at Mulatuli. Chair, I'm going to propose to you, I don't know whether it's the right meeting to do that, but if we could have a special meeting that only deals with what is on page 49, in terms of what the SIU is doing, general investigations are doing, exit strategies, the disciplinary hearings, the termination of contracts, etc. Remember before 2 years. Because here you are resting crisis. So my thinking was that if we could have a meeting specializing just on those challenges that the department is faced with, because it's historical. They can see them from the current progress, which I think we have celebrated. The last point, we are in these issues of availability factor of energy in our country. Is there anything that you are doing to talk about hydropower in your dams, in your lines of from the Sooth? I know you guys assisted the Sooth to build a very nice power station, hydropower station in the Sooth. I'm sure that there is one in the Vinegar. And also I've just forgot this name. There is maybe expansions or any new kind of investment that the department is considering in the hydro power. Talk about this availability of energy. You can see them somewhere.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I want to thank the department for this report. Now, Chair, I'm sitting on this committee since 2014, 9 years. And I've seen the trend of where this department went with acting DGs and DDGs. Now, if you cannot look at this graph on page 57 and just see how it changed since 2019, then I think you must be blind. Really. I really want to thank the DG and his personnel for excellent work that's been done in a very short period, taking this down to 177 million rand. Chair, I can tell you I've got experience. I will give you an indication. I asked this morning, before the meeting started, I asked the DG to look at the full flow down the canals that are dirty and blocking the water flowing into that dam. I then got an answer from the DG saying that they'll be on site middle of March. That is service to the people of South Africa. And they have got challenges, and they will admit they've got challenges. But really, let's not play politics around water and sanitation in this country. We started at a very low, and we are getting there. That's a comment I want to make. Question I want to ask the DG is, I think it's important on the blue drop that we up our work on the blue drop so that the quality of the water, we know what the quality of our water is. So I really plead with the department that they should invest more time and people in managing the blue and green drop of this country so that we are 100% sure that the quality of the water that we drink is safe for the people. And then secondly, on the green drop, that we stop, as the Deputy Minister also said, we know of all these pollutions, all these municipalities that are polluting our rivers and our streams, so that we can stop that and keep people accountable. I think it's time now that municipal managers should be locked up for not making sure that their municipalities they adhere to the NEMA regulations of water and sanitation. Thank you, Chair.
Well,
I'm
also
Northwest, you said it is Northwest. I don't know what does that mean. We will get to know the clear identification side. Thank you to the department and the DG. I always appreciate to see your face, DG, because I know you from virtual system. When I see you, I appreciate it. Thank you for this presentation. I understand some of the members said they've just arrived in this committee. They do not have the experience that we had when we came here in 2019. When we were barred, even by Parliament, to present our program of the department to Parliament, we were barred because of the poor performance and the ills and the problems of this department. We're moving up and about to really clarify who we are and pleading with the Parliament to be given opportunity to do our work. I'm raising this on the basis of what some of the members are raising on where we are with this department, like what Honorable Dion is raising. I understand where other members are just arrived when things are improving. There has been no clear organization structure in this department when we came. The governance of the department was in Qatar when we arrived in 2019. Remember, we were not, others were coming from municipalities and provinces. We were wondering how this department is operating. And with what kind in such an environment in the department. There were instances where the ministers that were there were trying to put their things into order, but very difficult. And we put our foot down as the oversight to ministers and deputy ministers, those things, to say things must be ordered. This must be done, this must be done, this must be done. This department was a step child in Parliament. Just to make it honorable Emerald to know, it was a step child. A department that is holding huge amount of money in Parliament. It was a step child. Because of the ills of those years, as Honorable Dion has Leon has raised. It's important that we give you where it is. That is the right thing is to them. Am I right? It's important that we do that. There's a long road to freedom, DG. But I think, because what we must do, we must look on how the department is putting processes in terms of the content and material. There's a lot of capacity building that I see in the department to make, to improve things. And I think we should be appreciative of that. But to say, move on, department and the department and the DG to what we think would give services to our people better. When you have the support, a chairperson of us in this department and the DG, and we really appreciate the progress that you are making. I want to start to the overview of the year, and it's a pity that it's not here, but I wanted you to listen to this. The DM is saying, we do understand that it is the responsibility of municipalities to give water. That's what the constitution is saying. The people of today are very clever and well empowered. We are hands-on on water provision and distribution as a department. Parity. I don't want to undermine that constitutional imperative. What would happen if people of the certain department take us to task, to court, as a department, as a national department? What is it that's going to protect us from the constitution? I want to ask a question. What's going to protect us from the constitution? As the DM was raised, the DM of trouble, said, it's not our responsibility, but we are there. So I just want to put that provision so that perhaps we should be aware what would protect us. There's a lot of empowerment of democracy outside there. When they want services, they can tell you that we want the municipality, not you. Answer, why are you here? National Department. Page 11, I'm consistent about this question to person. And I'm not getting a real answer, maybe. I'm not getting the answer that I want. The PWD is 4%. use 12%. What is this? You we move from a three-man start.
You have a page?
Page 11, Jen.
Okay.
We move from a three-man start. This is the designated group. Are they doing auxiliary work? And we be given a clear material work that they are doing. Because we don't want to see them cleaning dishes for contractors, for big contractors, and we are told that they are given work to do. Materially, the conduct, what are they doing? These PWD, what are they doing there in terms of their participation as a designated group? Perhaps at another time, Chair, in Big 13, we are told that the performance 80% and 71%, that's corporate and financial management. It's not satisfactory, but you are there. You are really there. Don't undermine yourself. But as a committee with an oversight, it's important to know what are the challenges that need to be so low in terms of comparing with the others. What is it? So that we have an input on that, because if you are hiding from us, you are disempowering us. Perhaps at a certain time may happen in years. Tell us where. I'm handicapped because I come from the Eastern Cape. I know Nandone, I know Mzimbubu, I know those dams. Is it not possible that when we are given these dams, performance or non-performance, we are given a province? Just to say they are at Northwest. They are...
So you want to know where North Cop is?
I want to know. I want to know where North
Cop is. Let's go.
Yeah, please,
North Cop.
This side.
North Cop.
I was asking, where's Valcom Dam from the Oral Grave? Where's Valcom? We have an interest. We want to know.
Valcom is in Northwest.
It's Northwest to be returned next to that dam. That's where Northwest.
And Lost Cop.
And Lost Cop. Umalanga.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yes, please. And then in Zimbu, we just say it's in case. That's to empower us. We can't be remembering them because we have been told then. Just to write the problem.
You must be setting a revolution by demanding that.
Is it?
Yeah. But the revolution might be if you write the province in the of one of them, and there's a province that is not touched.
At the end,
then the revolution begins that, oh, it means the Navajo is that come from the
woods. If you come next time, that province will come in the next vote, if it's not yet. Hey, I see here it's written Zimbabwe, orange and Zimbabwe summer catchment. I want an empowerment. Zimbabwe summer catchment. What is that? Because I always learn about Zimbabwe, Dabelanga, Lalimu. What is this now? If I can be clarified, what does this mean? Yeah, so that I followed the trend. The page 22 is a very, very alarming. You can undermine it at another time. But when communities stop a project, it says a lot to the finances of that financial aid to that project. I see here the stakeholder consultation was not conducted. And it says at the end, the stakeholder consultation will be conducted during the last quarter. The project has started. But that is what the project is. You deal with the stakeholders at the last frame. They're going to stop your project in between.
So I'm asking why in the planning they've not been involved. There could be a reason, a technical reason that perhaps I may not know. I'm asking the question. When it says at the end, to me it's a problem. In the advertisement of a service provider, a contractor for certain functions, you clarify the scope, you clarify your needs, and all those issues that you put in the advert content. On the implementation, the contractor does not perform. There's a poor performance of a contractor. This is something that you could be able to see when you engage the contractor for the work to be done. You could not be able to see some, like, that this one is going to do the work, all those issues. You see, because I see that there are three of them that have not performed because of the poor performance. Just to ask a question, what would make you to understand that this one is not going to produce? So that you don't start.
Planting.
I hear that Specimen Water Board was was it amalgamated or dissolved recently? So it's the money that has been given to them on Richmond Park, was it given before? For now, the issue is that how do we give them money when they are disestablished? That's an interpretation or understanding of that. What does that mean? In 2019, when we came to this department, I will never forget my students at the end of the day. Of those 15 villages, and the municipality was given funds for the process of articulation. I may not remember what the name of that municipality, but I hear now that Mufani is even appointed for articulation. How I wish that it's not that municipality of 2019. If it's Mufani, we need to be told what tools that Mufani has to give Kiani people water. That was a very, very experience, and millions have gone to that particular meeting. I hear that being given a responsibility for education. I wish it's not the same strategy, because we are going to go back to the problem that we had. Chair, thank you very much. I think that was the last my... Oh, I see this desalination here at page 55. Chair, why I am jumping for this is because in the report of the department, it has never come to us to be given the performance of that determination that was done in the state. It has never. We've been asking for it, and budget of this department went to that determination. We were there on the oversight. We wanted to see what is this determination. It is not coming to us to understand and its performance and its existence, and we want to know it more. I see others, but it's in case one is not here, yes, we can't. Please, let there be some empowerment about it. May not be in this report, but what's happening with the campaign? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
That the other one was taking water from Alfred's dam And Dr. Pelton was running dry at the time when he went there.
Yes.
He is still visible. Well, my brother.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm a new boy here. I think it's my the newest one on the committee. All right, but and it's my first in-person meeting, which I welcome greatly. And I want to plead with you, Chair, before I carry on, that we could maybe make this not the exception but the rule, and make the Zoom meetings maybe the exception to the rule. I see many of us have great frustrations participating, you know, in terms of reception and breaking down of communications and what have you, and a lot of time wasted in the process. So I want to say thank you, Chair, for convening this in-person session that we have been hoping to continue along this path. Chair, I just want to make a couple of observations and then one or two questions. I want to endorse with my colleague and friend, the Honourable Northwest, Leon Casson, has said. We did not compare notes, but we are naturally on the same page, I think. And it is quite clear that huge improvements have been made. And, you know, I think it is the role of this committee not only to investigate and to do the necessary oversight and to ask the right questions. And gosh, are there many questions to be asked? And is there a lot of oversight to be done? I think we all agree about that. But I think it's also our role to give credit where credit is due. And I think one would have to be blind not to have noticed that things have, at some levels, improved. And of course, page 57 is a good example of that. But I think while progress has been made in many areas, the department still faces huge challenges, enormous challenges. I think, and this is where I really want to point my questions towards, and which is of concern as I peruse these documents, and I'm by no means an expert, but as far as what we can glean from these, and even this is just a quarterly report, but I think these issues are endemic throughout the department, and one of these is the question of consequence management. Now, and others alluded to the fact that, you know, irregular expenditure might have come down and unauthorized expenditure. Many issues are being referred, ongoing investigations and so on. But we all know that until such time as people actually are issued with these government-issued bangles and they actually go to jail, this will not stop. This is not just our experience in this country. This is an international phenomenon. Corruption, fraud, and mismanagement is unique to this country or to this continent. But in places in the world where it has been dealt with effectively, senior politicians went to jail. And senior officials went to jail. And people at various levels actually went to jail. And this is why I think it's extremely important that if we do not make progress as far as consequence management is concerned, and we do not follow through and make every effort to ensure that prosecutions and convictions take place, and so that there are serious consequences for transgressors and culprits, we will not be able to stem the tide of corruption in this country and also in this department. Obviously, this department is a target. We've seen it has been a target of state capture, and will remain one for the simple reason that this is where a lot of resources of the state are deployed. That's why ESCOM and Transnet and others were targets for so long and remain a target, and that's why this department is vulnerable to abuse and theft and fraud.
So I'd like to ask the management, to what extent are they satisfied that consequence management is being pursued to its logical consequence? What progress has been made in this regard? What convictions, if any, have been achieved? What monies have been retrieved, apart from, you know, that there's some SAP money that's been retrieved in the past, but apart from that, anything else? What are the likelihoods of money that's been stolen and misappropriated, of that actually returned? Because we need every penny that we can get. This brings me to the second area of major concern, and this was also alluded to earlier in the presentation, that is the serious problems around revenue collection. If we don't get the money in that we should for the various entities, then Sandebank 2 and Sandebank 3 and Sandebank 4 will happen. They'll all have to be closed down. Now, Sandebank could be transferred its assets and staff to other water boards, but when the next one falls and the next one falls, you're going to run out of boards where the assets and the people can be transferred to. So that's obviously not a sustainable solution. The answer is to improve management and revenue collection at the various entities in order to make them sustainable, because otherwise we face another ESCOM. Now, we know what ESCOM and the collapse of energy provision in this country has done to the economy, and we cannot afford another ESCOM in the form of water not being available. The effect of this department failing would be as big or maybe bigger than the impact that ESCOM is having on the economy and the people and the prospects of the future. And so when we talk about revenue collection and when we talk about underspend of infrastructure, for instance, and maintenance of infrastructure, again, a lot of fingers are pointed towards municipalities. And some fingers were pointed this morning to municipalities, quite rightly so. But my question in this regard is, to what extent is this department engaging, for instance, with those authorities, whether it's through COCTA or whether it's directly with the municipalities and the various entities? Because unless we address that, we are forever going to be pouring money into a bottomless pit with very little return for investment. We can make interventions, and we saw the interventions that have been announced recently, various district municipalities and local municipalities, and yes, those of course are very necessary, very important. At least to sustain the semblance of delivery. But it's not sustainable to make these interventions. The principal agents responsible for delivering those services must begin to deliver them. And what are we as a department doing, can we do, to ensure that those who are mandated in the first instance to deliver those services do so sustainably and affordably? And then finally, Chair, this matter of the bucket system, which is really an enduring scourge on the edifice of the New South Africa, where over 10,000 just in Free State and some part of the Northern Cape remains. And I see even some of the irregular expenditure is in relation to that very program. Is it true that even if the department manages to bring this bucket eradication program to completion, that they won't be able to connect to the sanitation system because those services are defunct and dysfunctional? So it would be a bit of an embarrassment and a hollow victory to now to be able to announce that we've now achieved the eradication of the bucket system, but they still can't flush. And what are we doing about that next problem down the line, as far as that program is concerned? Thank you, Chair, and again, thank you to the work that's been done by the new leadership in the department, and we wish them well. And you can count on our support in terms of taking the department forward, but we need to remain focused on the very serious challenges that are there and that hopefully can be curtailed and arrested in order to secure order for all. Thank you.
Chair,
Member,
Member.
For the vendors of government. It's like this. This means something else. Important team that.
Which important? Which important?
Very important.
Which important? Who just beat them? That thing last week, Catholic.
Not chair, not great. Not
Catholic. Thank you very much. In absentia, and let me greet the DM, the DG, and the entire team of the Department of Water and Sanitation. And I also want to appreciate the presentation and the progress that you are continuously displaying in the entire country. I want to agree with honorable members to say in 2019 when we came in, the department was not like this, honorable Hendricks. In 2019 there was no teaching. In 2019 there was no CFO to affect you. In 2019 there was no DDT for corporate service. In 2019 there was no DDT for regulation. Especially the home management of the So as we're speaking, the department under the leadership of the Chino and CM Gandhi and CM the department is just to confirm what the other members have said, the slide 57 is confirming the witnessing whatever that we have said. The department was not like this, and we are also critical and radical at this portfolio committee in making sure that we get it right in this department. And generally, Chair, dear Makoko, you know, dear Magad, when I was born many, many years ago, the area that I'm coming from, or where I was born in, the name of the area is called Greenside in Dr. J.F. Moroka. That time, we used to have two boreholes and we would walk 3 kilometers just to fetch water. As I'm speaking, we do have a very big reservoir that was completed some few years ago by the municipality, surely through the assistance of the DWS. The area has been reticulated. People are receiving water in their households. The area that I'm coming from, this government has built a world-class clinic. The area that I'm coming from, we do have RDP houses and sanitation is there. We can go there even now. As much as we still have other challenges of roads, infrastructure, you know, we've got school. I used to go to school more than 10 kilometers away from home, but now we do have a school that is closer to the community. So I think this is a good story to tell to our children and those who are not aware of the challenges that we have been facing pre-1994. Hence, I want to agree with other honorable members to say we must give credit where it's due. So there is a lot that has been done by this government, as much as there are challenges that we are still facing. And generally in the country,
I think Statistics SA has indicated that more than 89% of households have access to water, and more than 83% have access to sanitation in our country. And this is a good story to tell. And definitely it is through the hard work of men and women which are deployed in government, especially in the Department of Water and Sanitation. There are challenges, yes, that are faced by many areas in our country, but a lot it has been done. Chair, in the previous interaction with the department, I think in the when we are interacting with them in the second court, you have indicated that you have managed to recruit more than 800 scientists and engineers. And we really appreciate that. We know currently you have a vacancy rate of around 100 and something, and you have indicated that you have advertised that post. And surely in the fourth quarter, you will be able to give us a progress report in terms of appointing those young men and women to be able to fill those positions. Our country does have a lot of unemployment, especially to young people. But we must appreciate that 859 scientists and engineers have been appointed under our watch. On the budget eradication program, I think this has been a cause for concern for our committee. We've been raising it since 2019. And we have agreed with the chair in this committee to say around March, April, we are going for an oversight in Western Cape and Free State just to see, it's just for us to see the progress report in terms of eradicating this budget system. And we know that we have received a commitment from the department to say by end March and August, we will be able to reach this target, but I'm not quite sure whether we still on track CFO with regards to those deadlines. I know in one of your slides, I think it's in slide 37, you have indicated that the project is moving very slowly. But you said previously that your construction unit is on site. So hopefully there is progress, but just to get an idea from the site, where are we going to reach that deadline? On the bill, the National Infrastructure Agency bill, yes, I know that you have received a progress report in terms of the process taken thus far, but just wanted to check, let me include the National Water Services Amendment Bill. Just to check GM, if you will be able to present the two bills in this next administration. I think we are left with complete this year probably to process the bills generally, you know, the process of parliament interacting with communities, different provinces, public consultation, you know, how we take time to pass the bills. So I'm just thinking if we will be able to the department to present to them these two bills before parliament in this administration, or are you claiming that you're presenting in the seventh administration? The other matter is on the issue of COVID-19, I think on the on program 3, I think it was raised partly. The department achieved less than 50% of the planned targets for this third quarter. And then the poor performance is mainly associated to poor expenditure on the RBIC and the research. To what extent is the demand by business forum affecting the implementation of the RBIC and research across the country? The other question that I have is on the set aside by the in terms of the youth, you said that you have achieved 12% out of the 30% target that was earmarked. My question is that, don't you have any partnership with NYTA and the Presidential Youth Empowerment Scheme program so that you can be able to access those young businesses and for those businesses that are led by or lead by young people? The on the rehabilitation program, okay, how far are we with the program for the on the rehabilitation of the youth worked up? Will there be any allocation for this financial year? Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I'm fine with other questions that have been raised by other members. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Just some one or two questions. Not one or two, but something. Look, where I'm sitting, I do feel that at some point we are ready to collect a legal report, which might be positive in this nature. When I came into this department in 2019, I was the whip of the ASC, not in the Chamber of Commerce by that time. It was difficult for me. There was something called Strategic Committee of the General Discussion Committee. But just as an honest view, I was made to see on the seat next to the door all the time, because it was going to be the next time it was seen. Unless we convince them that we are the department, will be ejected out of the meeting. Mm. And then it was ready to close Department of Water and Sanitation and have human settlement as oversee everything else in everything. That sticks to what you see in page 57. That graph of page 57. We were in 2019 when you can remember. There is 2018-2019 graph, which is the tower of the graph. That's when we came in back then. you see that the trend on the right-hand side was upward all the time, 2014-15, 2015-16, up to 2017-18. The highest was 2018-19. That's where we came in. And we were made to convince that there is a need to take this. Whether we have got capacity as a study group to bring these things at least to 2017-18 or 2015-16-17. Prove that you can do that. If you don't, please don't waste our time. In the strategy meeting of the functional committees, it was always me and Honorable Semenya. Anyway, it was difficult. I remember it was the last meeting they called us and called the minister, and the minister only sent it to the minister. So I said, and we must say that the minister then deployed, because in this department there's nothing to go on. The CEO was acting, everything was, we were called Hollywood by that time. And the minister then deployed DG Changa from human settlement to water and sanitation. For the 9 months that he was, we have brought about change. It did. Honestly, it moved. Then it turned out, but I couldn't finish the semester.
and hence we could see that 2019-2020, it's not a drop, I'm sure it's the finishing of the whole thing, coming down to nearly nothing. So if I, and by that time then I was, it really became water and sanitation. And then I became the chair, she became the whip of the community, and all of us became the members here. This is what we did, the way we did that. We can't shoot this thing down because of that way. Yes, there is a lot of problems that we can, we must look into. For instance, if you look at the page, page 11, pie chart there, of the 12% set effect for use, only 12% is achieved. The 12% of 12% means it's 1 point something. So if we must water. People with disabilities, 4% of 7%. So it's not for 4% of 100%, 4% of 7%. It's a very minimal number. We're not meeting the target there. At least women, 73 of 40, that's on top of it, 70 of 40 in the pipeline. So it is really giving a bit of a problem. So I'm sure you can do better. We can do better. On page 15, we are at, we need 90 days, we are still at 150, according to writing in page 15. The president has declared 90 days, Dr. Phillips, you are at 150. We are also moving from where you were doing, we had service and something at some point. We appreciate that point, but the fact is that we need to meet the target of that 90 that the president has committed the country to it, then I think we need to do that. Yes, I must also speak of the fact that the bucket eradication system. Well, I know that at some point we moved it from human settlements to CCA, I think, to something?
HDA.
And the SDA could not and did not get to us. We have committed much and the time to finish Bloomberg Day. And we have committed much for Bloomberg Day in August. Yes, right. And August for Northern Day. We have already committed, we are going to present in March. But the aim of the people was the right now that they were in 1780, and most of the next time they were still in market system, in the formal settlement of South Africa. That is how we get 1780. Well, I will continue to have the target of eradicating that market system. At the time when we do that, I would love to answer the question by Honorable Mayor, will there be people will be getting into a toilet and flash. I come from Bushbuck Ridge. Up until I was 30, I did not know that somebody can get into the house and relieve himself. This flashing toilet, in our view, it is, if you are getting into a house, you close the door and you leave yourself. It was difficult for me to do that. I was not used to it. When I went to go to a toilet, I would go to the bush and there. So it was, for me, it was very nice. It was, I couldn't understand the believing of myself in a house. The first time I came to toilet, I went to Alexander and my auntie went to the toilet and went to, it was still a packet system. When you go to a toilet, because on the left is your number, the toilet will have some holes that will remove the packet to go and clean it and send back. And my uncle was marked in the toilet. So
today we can see, I'm staying in Bushbuck, it's in my house, that is, that I'm flushing. I've got three stands in Bushbuck, everything in the old land, in the hood. No, I have much work on my own land. All of them are flushed. I don't know why. So to me, I used to believe that, yes, we must beat ourselves up in order for us to work hard. We can't close ourselves and believe that we have arrived. We're not alive. I don't know what is happening. I can see all of them are because of us. So, yes, let's deal with this 1,880, 1,850. Answer the question by Honorable Mayor, whether at the time we would finalize it in the 2,800 K-point, will they be flashing? If not, can we prepare for it that it flashes? We must not celebrate that we build them and we are still not there flashing because the earth there is not there. Please let's try to deal with this issue because Mkhutu is correct. We have got quite a lot of unemployed people, professionals and so forth and so on. But then we know that most of our kids are going to university. Let me tell you, I'm not anti-education, but university does not give the skills. It gives the knowledge. You don't come out of university and you are capable of building a car. It's not possible. You have got a theory of how the car is built. You still need to go to a technical school to go and learn how to build a car. Coming from universities. So most of our kids run to universities rather than going to technical. For them to learn, I was working for the railways. In the railways, you have something called API. Your API, not API in the meaning where your API is a small purpose, no. And API means an example who is learning how to do work. When he leaves, when he becomes out of being an applicant, an engineer, can be. Then you know what you're going to do with specialty. So, department, we think that you must just keep on doing what you are doing because it is not a bad job. In the morning, I had an interview with radio station 786. Most of the people were phoning there. Were they complaining about what Marlene is saying? And some of them might be people that your configuration of your board might have affected them. So they are using the station to complain. They ask questions and complain. Why do you think the department has a right to take over water circulation and the board? Responsibility for the board is a standalone thing. But then I asked him, Were you a board member? I said, no, not necessarily. I said, okay. If you are representing them, ask them whether they were not created by the minister. If they were, why do you think the minister must have not determined also the time that he does no longer need the service of that particular board? Because it is the one who created the board. A question that Mamne was raising, and also that was raised in that question, that if the department is going to recirculate water in the municipality, if water is not coming off the dam, who should go to court? The municipality or the minister? And I answered that the water is the purview of the minister of the Department of Water. It is first water. Yes, he do delegate responsibilities to the department, your municipalities, the local municipalities, your board. But it is his service, the first stop with the minister, that people of South Africa must have water. If people are not getting water, the people have a right to take the minister to court rather than the municipality. But I think they were empowered by some of you who are in your configuration of the board, some of them are no longer board members. They are unemployed. When were we here? I was going to.
On the 29th of we're sitting with him here. You remember? We're sitting there. Yeah. And he was saying that I'm a taller forward. Owed him money. And then in the meeting, we agreed that we must say, oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. It was not at the end of November, right? Yes. He gave us money. Remember that we must go and ask that he either be reinstated or he be paid his leave because his leave was Papa Young and his birthday fund is not paid. So at least this one was honest, he came to us. The others are going to the bush and just complain because they are no longer board members. That is board. Maybe it is this naming that there is something called permanent board. There's no such a thing. There's no such a thing as permanent board. It's a board for the special period of time. It is 5 years, 5 years. It's like me. I'm not a permanent member of parliament. When 5 years ends, I must take my things and go home. If I am re-elected, I will come there. I can't say why did you move because I was a permanent member of parliament. There's no such a thing. So board members are appointed by the minister for a certain period of time. When that time ends, it goes, and subject to you output, giving a good output, you can on, terminate. So we can't do anything else. But to me, let's continue with the good work. And I'm sure we appreciate that. Deputy Minister. When I'm outside, I was reminded that by 1 o'clock we must finish the research. I don't know if it's in the case like that. So squeeze your time in 30 minutes then. Go on.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. And to all the members, like indicating, I'm not going to start talking to issues as has been raised, but let me outright say, for the fact that there have been a number of issues that have been raised, I commit the DG that some of the issues will be responded to in writing to the chairperson of the committee. And believing that that will be done before the next sitting of the next meeting. Give praise where praise is deserved, and I think we need to really say with the Director General and his team of DDGs, we have been able to really turn around with the department to a particular extent, because if you look at the vacancy rate that was there, it has been so reduced, particularly technical people. And that is what Ms. Angu has indicated, that you can't have an organizational structure that actually is more full of the non-core function, and therefore that is why we're having technical people, so that it's not a situation of the tail wagging the dog, and that is in essence what we are trying to do. But also, having said that, indeed, we are working towards making sure that we deal with the issues, and consequence management is one of the things that the ministry is always talking to when we have our meeting. And to just, in fact, part of the things that we're talking to is that the more we deal with the issues and deal with the people who are doing wrongs in the department, the better it will be that the others will say, it has happened to my colleague and therefore I don't need to venture in that particular area. Chairperson, let me indicate that revenue collection is a very challenging matter. Challenging in the sense that in municipalities, in many instances, revenue in municipalities, there's little that is being collected by the municipality. And always, all of us will attribute to the fact that people are unemployed. And therefore, some are unable to pay the services that are being rendered. But I also need to indicate that one of the things that the department is trying to work towards eradicating is the loss of water. Non-revenue water is one of the things which is a challenge. And working with the municipalities, we're always making sure that we look at where the problem might be. But most of the municipalities are saying that the old infrastructure is what is the thing that is making them to lose a lot of water, and therefore sometimes this is one of the things that we're engaged with. And I think there was one honorable member who was saying, working with the municipalities, what really happens in the eventuality, things does not necessarily go wrong. One of the things that the minister is saying is, we don't just impose ourselves into the municipalities, but the municipalities that are having challenges, and where there will always be communities protesting about water, protesting about sanitation or sewage, that is like rivers in the streets. That is where we have discussions with the municipalities and we look into their capacity, we look into their revenue, and then we go in. Not to say we will always be imposing ourselves in some of the issues that are there. But Chairperson, like I said, the budget eradication system was still on track, and we definitely in the next meeting should be able to report to the portfolio committee how far have we progressed. Like we indicated, March and August, I think we're still on track, and definitely one of the things that we need to indicate is that the budget, do I call it a system? I don't know what to call it. It's a moving goalpost, because when settlements are being made, the municipality does not leave those settlements without sanitation. They assist in making sure that there is temporary sanitation until such time that settlement has been turned into a town, however they do it. And this is one of the challenges that we are having, because today you're saying we're left with less than 1,000, but tomorrow there is a new settlement that is coming in, and therefore the municipality cannot leave people doing undignified things. They submit, they pay some of the mobile sanitation, which actually becomes the market system to that particular area. And this is one of the things that we are talking to the municipality to say, let's work together so that we are able to know how to deal with the situation. Because in Free State we have 6,000, the next thing when you think that you are finishing, there is another 10,000 that is coming, because there's new settlements which are coming through. Let me give the DG and the team to to speak to the other issues which actually have to question. But if time flies and it's 1 o'clock, issues that have not been responded to, we will respond in writing. Thanks, Chairperson. DG.
In your answering, there is a question written to me to ask, you. We had a commitment with Treasury that you are going to withhold equitable share allocation to municipalities that are not paying, and then to also top slice in refunding those monies to either the department or municipality or ELCOM for that matter. How far is that?
Good question.
She's wanting to
open a quickly teaching. On the particular education, let's report to those ones, the former, in the former settlement. Yeah, not even in former.
Thank you, Chair. I'll answer some of the questions and ask some of my colleagues to ask more. I'll try to do it in the order in which they were asked by various members. Honorable Mokoto initially asked about how we've been promising to reduce irregular expenditure and with why haven't there been results, but I think as various members have pointed out, slide 57 shows the results of that. Slide 57 graphically shows that as a result of these measures that we've introduced to reduce irregular expenditure, our irregular expenditure has reduced drastically. Curving it, yes, it's reduced drastically. So there's hardly any new irregular expenditure. When Clark was presenting on the irregular expenditure, he was presenting about what we have to do to deal with all the old irregular expenditure. It can only be taken off our books. It still appears in our books as irregular expenditure until we get it condoned. In order to get it condoned, we have to go through disciplinary processes, criminal processes, etc., before we can condone it. So that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about new irregular expenditure. He was talking about all the processes we're engaged in and the progress that we were making in terms of controlling all the regular expenditure. I'm going to ask Rizzi Marty to talk about the bucket eradication. With regard to engineers and scientists, I think Honourable Hendricks also raised an issue there. Honourable Hendricks, I'm not sure where you got the figure of 2,000 vacant and engineers and scientists position from, but that's not what we presented. According to our presentation on slide 15, there's about 100 vacant engineers and scientists, and we do indicate in the slide that we've advertised 122 technical posts in water use licensing recently. So once those are filled shortly, we'll have very few vacant engineering and technical jobs. But we are also constrained by our personnel budget. Our National Treasury has introduced measures across the whole of government to reduce the personnel budget. So we won't be able to fill all of our vacant positions because we simply don't have enough personnel budget to do it. We have to wait for natural attrition, for people to resign or retire, and then we'll prioritize filling technical and engineering posts as that process proceeds. And there was also a question, Honourable Mokoto, about why we can't use unspent money to replace old infrastructure and why not allocate unspent to buckets, etc. What Franz was presenting is that about mid-year through the financial year or two-thirds of the way through the financial year when we realized that some projects are going to underspend versus what we plan to spend on them for a whole range of reasons. For example, there can be disruptions, community disruptions, strikes, there can be unforeseen ground conditions, etc. Then we move money to other projects which are moving more quickly. So we can't just take the money and allocate it to something new because we wouldn't then spend it because we would then have to go start all the processes of planning and procurement, etc. So we have to allocate it to, if we're going to spend it in the financial year, we have to allocate it to projects which are already going. Another honourable member asked a question, I think it was Honourable Seki, as to does that mean then that those communities that we took money from their projects, they have to be explained as to why they're not getting the projects anymore. The answer is no, because we will still fund those projects. We'll just allocate money back to them in the following financial year. We run a multi-year budgeting system for our projects because many of our projects go across financial years. So if a project is moving slowly or has been delayed and we move money to a faster moving project, then we will put that money back to the project in the next financial year. So it doesn't mean the communities will not get what they were informed they were going to get. Honourable Hendricks, I don't have any evidence of criminal syndicates operating in the department. If I do get evidence, we will act on it. We have a very strong internal audit section in the department. The head of it is sitting here, Michael. We have an independent audit committee, which is also very strong. Our internal audit section investigates all allegations against anyone in the department, even if there's allegations against me or any of the other senior managers here. Our internal audit unit will investigate it without fear or favor, and they will report on what they're doing to the external independent audit committee. And also, if we do, whenever we do get any evidence of any criminal activity in the department, we do report it to the police. And we are keeping a record of all of these reports or allegations of any corruption or criminal activity in the department. We keep a record of all the investigations into them. Michael, who's the head of our internal audit, has to do detailed reports to the external audit committee on all the cases and the progress with them. None of them are allowed to fall off the edge of the table. All of them have to either be completed and result in disciplinary action or criminal action, or being reported to say that this was fully investigated and there's no substance to it. Honourable Hendricks also asked a question about whether we're aware about water theft in Bushbuck Ridge. Please, if you've got any evidence of anything like that anywhere, please let us know. You can send it to me directly.
I'll send you all the video footage.
Good, thank you. We will investigate it. You also asked a question, Honourable Hendricks, about what revenue we get from Bushbuck Ridge. Bushbuck Ridge, as elsewhere, the municipalities must collect revenue from the water they supply. They in turn are supplied by Rand Water, and Rand Water must collect revenue from the municipalities. I don't have those figures at hand as to what is Rand Water's revenue collection, but we can provide you with that information. Honourable Zeki, you asked a question about slide 5. Where we said we're supported by inadequate planning. We have been focusing on improving our planning, and I think there has been a lot of improvement, but we're still living with some of the legacies of past poor planning. So for example, the instance of the bucket eradication program that we're talking about, we're living with some of the legacies of that, because when that project was conceptualized and planned, there wasn't enough attention paid to the fact that you also have to upgrade the wastewater treatment works. If you're going to connect more households, you need to have wastewater treatment works with more capacity. So that's one of the reasons, and that's causing now problems with us finishing some of those projects, because the wastewater treatment works aren't ready to, don't have sufficient capacity to receive the additional load. That problem, of course, is not unique to those bucket eradication projects. That's also the major problem in the Vaal, in Poleni, where generally in the country there's been massive rural to urban migration. There's been a lot of new housing settlements that have been built, or new housing developments that have been built. Waterborne sanitation has been put in place, but at the same time the wastewater treatment plant capacity has not been increased. So in the Vaal alone, the major wastewater treatment works require 7 billion rand to upgrade them to have sufficient capacity to deal with the load that they need to carry. And that wasn't prioritized in the past. The good news is that National Treasury has agreed to make us an allocation for that. Rand Water apparently are out on tender for those, just start those major upgrades, and they will happen. But this problem of not making adequate planning for wastewater treatment is a general national problem, and it affects. We have lots of information for. There was a request here that we should have a special meeting about all of our disciplinary cases in the SIU. Please welcome to please invite us for that. We did this presentations in that regard a few months ago to SCOPA, but we can update those and should repeat them. There was also a question from Honourable Zeki about electricity and hydropower dams. Yes, we are doing a number of initiatives in that regard. The first is that we're going to soon be issuing a request to the private sector to bid for us to build either hydropower or other forms of renewable energy for us at our dams. Our dams use a lot of electricity. They're quite electricity intensive for the functions that are carried out at the dams. So to reduce our reliance on Eskom and to make our dams more reliable during load shedding, but also to contribute to reducing the demand on the grid, we're going to ask the private sector to bid to us to build either solar or hydropower facilities at our dams to supply us with electricity. We will then enter into off-take agreements with them, and they will fund and build, and they will get their money back from the off-take agreements. We'll be able to fund that because we envisage the electricity will actually be cheaper than what we're currently paying Eskom. In addition to that, we are also planning.
Ownership is very important.
It'll be funded through the off-take agreement. At the end, the infrastructure will be owned by us, that electricity generation infrastructure. And then we'll probably do a new off-take agreement. But we don't really want to operate electricity infrastructure. We've got our hands full operating water infrastructure. In addition to that, there's also potential for our water resources to be used for hydropower to sell water to others, not to us. In that regard, legally, what we have to do is issue a water use license. So if someone wants to build a hydropower station on one of the rivers or at the dam, our job is to issue a water use license for them to do that. And we've recently changed the water pricing strategy so that we can. To be finalized and approved by the Minister of Finance, which will happen shortly, which will enable us to charge for non-consumptive water use. So if someone does use the water to generate electricity, we would still get the charge on that. That's the one change we've introduced. And secondly, we're planning to open a window for a period for people to apply for water use licenses to do hydropower projects, so that we can make it a fair and open process so everyone who's interested in building a hydropower station can get an equal chance to compete. So we hope to do that quite shortly, in March, to issue open that window for applications for water use licenses. We'll have to see what happens, how many applications we get, but there is an indication that there is some interest for people to generate hydropower. So there again, we wouldn't be involved in the electricity parts at all. We would only issue the water use license, and then who they sell the electricity to, et cetera, is their business. And by the way, on the electricity issue, we've also made an input to the presidency and to COGSA with regard to measures that could be taken to reduce the impact of load shedding on water and sanitation services, and the regulations that were issued this morning indicate that they make provision for our minister to issue directives under those disaster regulations, electricity, which will do things like encourage municipalities and water boards to put in place their own power supply, either renewable or diesel generators. It will ask them to do things like to maximize storage and reservoirs while electricity is on, to optimize their storage, a whole range of measures which we've made input to them on. So the envisages that our minister will be issuing directives in that regard to all the water services authorities and the water boards shortly. Honourable Kaswan asked about blue drop or encouraged us to focus on our and accelerate our work on the blue drop. With Honourable Kaswan, we are very busy with it. The assessments are currently underway. We will be issuing initial reports in July and then the full reports in August on both the on the blue drop. And we'll be issuing also an updated green drop report on what progress has been made on dealing with the performance problems found in the 2022 green drop report. And Ms. Marty will also talk a little bit about how far we are with the no drop report. On consequence management, Honourable Myberg, as I indicated, we are very serious about consequence management. We are monitoring constantly. I get reports regularly on how far we are with all the financial misconduct consequence management cases. And Tabi Singh can give you figures, but we have been dismissing some officials, including a DDG, which is the case that the Deputy Minister mentioned, who was dismissed on charges related to financial misconduct. There are criminal cases which have been laid both by us and by the SIU. But if there's time, it's obviously can come in and give you the details, or otherwise, if we have a separate session with the committee on all of these kind of matters, we can give more details then. To what extent are we engaging with municipalities? We spend a lot of time and effort engaging with municipalities. The challenge is that despite all that time and effort, and despite all the measures that we take, for example, helping municipalities with grants, helping them develop action plans, etc. Our challenge is that despite all of that, the green drop and blue drop reports indicate that generally municipal water and sanitation services are still deteriorating. In fact, on average, the deterioration is worsening. So that is why we're doing research together with the Water Research Commission on possible fundamental reforms in the water and sanitation sector, which is why there was one question by one of the honourable members, Honourable Serki, about the bill and the Water Services Act amendment. We pretty sure that we will bring the National Water Act amendments to this parliament. We're almost ready with those. The Water Services Act might take a bit longer, but we would like to bring them as well. But the Water Services Act amendments will be informed by this research we're doing about potential more fundamental reforms in the water services sector to enable us to intervene and support more effectively in municipalities which consistently keep deteriorating and not improving. And finally, Chair, on the 90-day issue, yes, we agree we need to get to the 90-day target set by the President. Currently, we are processing 70% of water use license applications within 90 days. And as I indicated earlier, we've recently advertised over 120 positions, technical positions related to water use licenses in our regional offices. We think once those positions are filled, then we'll be in a better position to get much closer to 100% of water use licenses being processed within 90 days.
Ms.
Marchi, do you want to come in next?
Thanks, Chair. I think I'll start with the addition on the no drop. What the department has done is in publishing the blue and green drop, one of the challenges in our municipalities is there is no clear understanding of the demand and supply. They don't know how much water they consume. They don't even know or have accurate data on how much water has been lost. For instance, Bushbuck Ridge is losing about 35% non-revenue water, as you phrased it. So we have the figure, we know it. However, what the North Drop seeks to do, Chair, is to take municipalities into confidence for them to develop one activity water balance. Because the water balance, this is what will indicate to municipalities how much water they are receiving, how much water is lost through the infrastructure and how much water is built and the collecting revenue. So all those answers, they get answered in there. So there's no drop extraction there. We'll be publishing the progress report now in March, with the final report coming later in July, as the DG has kindly mentioned on the drop. Now, in addressing the issue of the BEP, I will try and put all the questions together and give like a bit of an overview so that at least I don't come to the BEP. What the DG has mentioned is quite key. There are a lot of issues that were left behind in terms of planning for the bucket eradication. Initially, there were no design. There's actually no design. There is no engineering drawing that was initially developed for this project. So it was find and fix type of model. Now, you there's no way in which you can succeed, regardless of whatever skill you have. So that is the existing situation with the BEP. Now, the back and forth between HDN and the department also did not help the situation, because the responsibilities moved, then it came back, it moved, then it came back, and there were a lot of legal issues around that. Now, when the department, when the new minister, Minister Mpuni, came in with the team and the DG, that whole DG was moved back to the department. Now, when we came into office, I would say, like specifically in my system, the BEP for underwater services, what we have to do now was to look at how far are we with the BEP. And we realized one of the challenges, some of those toilet facilities were not planned to be connected to a treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant. We therefore integrated that there should be a grey water package plant that should address the flushing part of it, so that at the end of it all, that gets integrated. Secondly, we then have to look at how do we then accelerate the current process, because they are not designed. There is no drawing that says you go ahead and do this. People collect after you design, and for you to verify that information as an engineer, you need to be sure before you sign off as a professional engineer. And we have to allow such risks. So they're all blended in this whole BEP. And the DM has mentioned, the targets just get moved, the targets just get moved because the conditions on the ground are volatile. Work stoppages, there's been even a shooting in the Free State. As and when we have some sites were closed for several times because there's this whole construction matter, if I may use the word for the sake of this meeting, and those are realities on the ground. So the targets they get moved, not because the department wants it, but the conditions on the ground take that, and we can basically put the people at risk. Our commitment for end of March was based on the fact that we want to get the system functional. And what we mean functional, when the project is completed now, you still have about a year for the second period where you deal with the blacklist, fix up any minor issues within the construction contract. So that's basically what we are aiming at. However, we've had a couple of challenges, sites were closed back and forth. We redesign and design, but we are still committed to the cause. Unfortunately now we've had a lot of rain. That area where we are building the BEP is waterlogged. The water table is very high there, so it delays everything that we were basically doing, but the department is actually on course.
With so 30 March might be not
right. The 30 March to get the whole complete system functional is now going to be delayed, unfortunately, because of the existing conditions now with the rain and the flooding in the area. We are still accelerating. We came up with an acceleration program. Yeah.
We don't want to prepare to go when we are there. You tell us.
Yes.
Then we will be able to
accelerate. Yeah. But I think it's key to address that. But we have a progress report that is coming here that talks to some of these issues. Several poor lack of design technical, and I think that is why the minister was key that you need to get people who would be able to advise the department much more properly in taking engineering decisions. And that's what water services is doing, and these are real effects on the ground. The one for Camden, which is the Northern Cape, is in process to be advertised as well. It's also going to integrate the whole flushing process. So I think it's key just to give that whole overview. there will be flushing at the end, it's integrated. We model it in the whole PDP project. We are giving on the formal one, not the informal, as you pressed the question, because those two are slightly separate. There will be taken care of in our the change in our national standards framework, which changes the RDP standard of our non-standard standards, as well on the informal settlement, so that people still get the minimum level of service that's required. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. You also asked a question about the issue of National Treasury withholding conditional grants. We do have agreement with the Treasury on that with regard to municipalities that don't pay water boards and don't intend to and keep payment agreements with water boards. What's happening currently is that the minister is written to all the mayors indicating that we're going to strengthen our credit control measures with regard to payment to water boards, and then when to consult with them. And then when we get a response from all the mayors, then we're going to start implementing this. It is already happening in some instances. National Treasury has done it in some instances. But once the ministers finish consulting with the mayors of the water services and authorities, then we will start doing it more systematically in conjunction with Treasury. We don't have an agreement with Treasury around top sites. I don't remember us reporting that we do have such an agreement. To my knowledge, top slicing wouldn't be possible in terms of the constitution to allocate to the water boards. What they've indicated to us is that they can go as far as withholding the equitable share allocations if municipalities don't pay or agree to terms of payment. Franz?
Thank you, DG. I'll start with the COVID-19. The projects that are reflected on slide number 67, 76, 75, they relate to sustainability projects. When we had the initial disaster COVID-19, we had the tankers which were distributed to various provinces. So those projects are meant to sustain the supply of water in those specific provinces. And then the other question was around financial management services and the performance. We have basically covered those areas. They relate to expenditure performance. That is a measure that is on our APP. The data collection, the days that we take to collect the data, the one that DGS has put into now. And also the financial recovery spend with partners. The issue of improper expenditure, conclusion thereof, is also affecting us attaining 100% on the financial recovery plan. Then there was also a question on the SIU. Yes, indeed, we do on our payment, the agreement with the SIU. We do not have any outstanding invoices on SIU. We pay as they execute their investigations. Then on Mopani, matter, did you have a question around the Mopani? The appointment of implementing agents goes through the process of assessment. It goes through our departmental adjudication committee. We assess their capacity to be able to deliver. And they will go through a whole list of process where we look at the financial assessment, the availability of personnel like the CFO in that area, and the technical skills that they are having. So those were the considerations that were taken into consideration on appointing Mopani to implement the project. I'm sure PDG can also add on some of those factors that we considered on those. And I think PDG, you have covered quite
briefly.
Oh no, that was the one for KZN. There were two service providers. One we have paid, the one for the internet, and the other one that I said was with, we have withheld is the one with the challenges, but it was in KZN. Yeah, there was a question around the period of the debt collection. We have participated on the national treasury contract is going to come into an end at the end of June of this year. So that is the question. I'm not sure if there's any other. You covered quite the desalination plant. I'm not sure if those are the ones that might require the one for Zambia. I think there was a request for a progress on that one. So we should be able to provide that progress. I think one Zambia.
Okay, for Obama.
Question on the passive the unit of measurement thing. The initially when we started there was the preferential for carbon regulations that set to determine standards on procuring from companies owned by passive disabilities use and unit. So this target comes from that. It's not necessarily a certain actually doing the work. The amount that you control from a company that is owned by a person and used and within the department. So considering the various ranges of procurement that we have in the department, it depends on the nature of the requirements of the department during that period when we can actually procure. And it's a very difficult one because in certain instances some companies of persons with disabilities or youth or women are not necessarily staying in that space where we actually procure from. And they're mostly found in our normal goods and services and procurement rather than the physical expenditures of the big infrastructure projects where the bulk of the procurement is actually. So that is the difficulty that the department consistently experiences in that
case. We ask if there is a budget for it. So the question was going to ask.
Thank you, DG. Secretary, on the associate sports chain, as we all know, there is an issue with high things there. We have been meeting with the communities. There is also a management committee there, which involves of about 50 stakeholders, which we are all looking towards the eradication of the high things. We also have for a budget of about 25 million per annum, which is allocated to the project. But there are also stakeholders which have applied for water use licenses to contribute as well as a business sector to enable us to address the project, not only the department, because we can never have all the funds to deal with the challenge. But also we are looking at it holistically, because it's no use to us looking at the eradication around the dam, whereas the problem starts upstream of the dam. So our program will look to say what are the interventions that we can do upstream of the dam itself. Thank you, Chair.
There was also a question about saving water boards and whether we allocated them our big money before or after they were closed. We didn't allocate any money to Citibank water board after it was closed out, but the Bloom Water and Mahadi's Water have taken over everything that was done by Citibank. So if there's any further allocations required, it will go to Bloom Water or Citibank. Sorry, Bloom Water or Mahadi.
DJ, as we have indicated, we do have detailed information in terms of the statistics of the cases, and you'll recall that there was an article in the Mavericks where it was indicating that we have 63 cases. Out of those 63 cases, we have finalized 55, 5 have been dismissed, and 10 were given a suspension without pay. And to complement our structure, we have consequence management in place, as well as we have collaboration with the SIU, where we meet on a quarterly basis with the SIU to fast-track the cases that the SIU has been proclaimed to investigate. But on top of that, we also have integrity and ethics committee in place,
that supplement in terms of the consequence management, and we are seeing improvements in that regard in terms of upholding the ethical behavior in the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We'll make a written submission on the in Block B, the submission.
Yeah, we are. Is that what you mean?
Okay.
No, I think we, and I do not want to sound as sounding as a broken record. Quite a number of things that you do that you are answering us on and that we are asking questions on is on the base of us getting information, with you having answers to do. It is on the basis, and I've been raising this point for some time now. And most of people who went to school most of the time, they are, I don't know this language, but they are a little bit naive. They know they are right, they live their life. I remember one minister said to me the other day, and was saying to Asian people die in life. You go to a road, you approach a four-way stop, there are robots. Your robot is green on your side. It is red, obviously, on the opposite side. But while you drive to this red robot, you can see there's a big light coming opposite, which under normal circumstances must stop because the robot is red. But the speed and the velocity of the truck, you can hear, it will not stop. Now he said, no, I will die. Right. You enter the green robot. And he takes it to the left hand, wrong as he is. So we'll come to your funeral. And we'll say, this man was right. He was right whenever that he died being right. But you're dead by that. So you, there are things you are doing which we... So the things we are doing that is answering all the concerns that we can answer, but you keep it to yourself. Dr. Phillips, we met with the Salka, with the treasurer, and ourselves. We brainstormed on how to do this. The issue of stop pricing and withholding was agreed upon. But you are now saying, yes, even though we have agreed, when we wanted to implement, there was next, we can't implement because constitutionally it can't. So up until we are told that, we remain with another thing that we had a meeting. We had more than four meetings with Salga and ourselves to talk about this stop spending. So we believe strongly there's an agreement you are not implementing. And if you tell us, oh, yes, there was an agreement, but this is the situation. Then we understand. We'll help you to communicate. It's an example I'm making on the issue of the budget verification. When we go to budget verification, we go there, we much is agreed, but is that who does not see that there is rain? Who does not see that this rain is bulldozing everything else? So when we explain, people will understand. In case that ends, and I know Mamukutu, EFF is taking the premier of KZN to court for, in their view, she lied when she said the president gave 1 billion rand for flat. And there's no such. And there is such. The 1 billion rand was given to flat victims, not to KZN, to flat victims of Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Eastern Cape. And KZN. When, because I'm serving in the Black Committee. That's why of the 1 billion and 440 million is used, 660 has not been used. Because, and today if I hear you, we are saying there were people that applied to the state, they have given wrong addresses, so the money has been withheld. It is even compounding the expenditure of the 440 million. The president, the minister, he said it's another 1 billion rand. last meeting, of the flood. We are not using it, but we are not even explaining why we are not using it. It's going to be important that we do. And I think it is good that they are not raising the point, but if once it is not explained, it will consistently become a myth when it is not necessarily a myth. I want to close the meeting. Two. Okay, so if all of you are in your high language, it's not valid.
Okay, thank you. The department stated that in Limpopo, a contractor has been terminated. So what I wanted to know is that after that contractor has been terminated for poor performance, was there any disciplinary measure taken against the contractor? I wanted to know if
they still
going to
of everything in and so forth.
Yes. And again, in this case, they have just realized that the poor performance by a contractor. So the question is, what are they doing about it?
Okay.
Are they just looking at it and, you know, taking it as by the by or what? Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
You
are
so
excited, Faye. I want to understand, of course. We need to get to know what makes us to be confident that Mopani will address. It went with millions for some years at Giani. I want you to get that clear. The second one is the issue of Chairperson. The issue of PWD, the designated group, should not be explained. The department is confronted with another department which is not doing its work. I'm getting a very clear answer today on this issue of designated group of co-person. I want to make a proposal here that the department must meet with the ministry for disability youth and women, because one day this department is going to be confronted by not performing in redressing in terms of the disability. So it's important that the department must present the case that is presented to us today to say you will never find it when you need those companies to procure. So what is that department doing?
No, not that we left. They can grow up to up until, but now they are not available.
They are not there. Yeah. So I'm saying that it's like issues of affecting us with cooperative department. So what is that you need with that department? So that one day you are not challenged of not addressing the issues of democracy and NYDE. So it's important that there should be some discussion on that. I wanted to make that proposal.
Let me ask. If we were asked, me and you at some point, that the Department of Water and Sanitation funded 17 billion rand in 2019, and we asked the question, why must we still give you another 33 billion rand in the Department of Water and Sanitation, and we're still Department of Water and Sanitation? It is the same question I'm asking. If Mopane could not do things, if Mopane, whose mayor was named this guy, now the mayor is a great taker, do you say because Mamsifai did not do anywhere good, there was nobody else? No. And I want you to understand that. DG?
Yeah, thank you, and on the one for underperformance, we do have a contract which stipulates exactly what the penalties are, but one of the measures that we're having is the retention. So there's always the retention that we have for the contractor. So both in the Eastern Cape and the POCO, we had implementing agents, so they would not release the retention for any poor performance. And Mopani one, Chairperson, yes, I'm confirming that it is the same Mopani possible. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Normally, I'm poor for me. The Mopani is sorry, correct. But what we have done now, we work very closely with them. In the past, they were getting direct grants, which is 5B, also for them. But the current implementation is 6B, which means we hold the money. We have to first verify and ensure that contractors are appointed, work is done on the ground, we verify the pay. So it's 6B. Also, through the DG, we wrote a letter to the MM to ensure that our team from the province are involved in the procurement processes. From tender advertisement, from evaluation, DAC appointment, those processes are happening. So we are ring-fencing that particularity. So that is how we have made sure that at least we control the situation. Also, that is our wish as a department. I think this is what government aims to achieve, that our municipalities need to be able to stand on their own and be rehabilitated as we intervene. So also transferring of skills, part of which we also have program management instituted in the state. Because there's over 38 contracts that are going to be appointed now. They don't have capacity. Then there's also program management to help deliver some of the skills. I am actually the chair of the technical committee addressing the issue of water and sanitation in the process in the Mopan. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'm sure there was an application made by Honorable Maybeck that the hybrid shall be an exception.
Yeah.
Hybrid shall be an exception. No, hybrid must be an exception. Normal conversations must be physical speaking. And nobody said no to Mr. Maybeck. We can't say no anything for one. We will always array. Of course, it is not difficult to get the venue. When the venue is available, we will try our best. Thank you very much, and the meeting is done again. Oh, it is said that those of you who might not have eaten wherever you come from, you can have lunch.
Why? Is it not nice?
It's nice, but I always...
I have to make sure.
Yeah, I'm